in every time. Oh, but there must be somebody telling lies and spreading rumors all around. Cause my only job is a cuddly toy waiting for me when I get home, yeah.
Good morning. And you are listening to Breakthrough Entertainment here on KPHX 1480 AM. I am Joseph J. Erdo, and right now it's just me and Eric Reiner. So we
Where's everybody?
I don't know. We can sing as much as we want today, right, Eric?
Well, they're probably listening.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm sure that Dave and Greg will be here soon. But, you know, it's a big show today. It's our radio show.
Wow, what a coincidence. We're
I know.
On the radio.
I know. It's like we always have a radio show, but today it's a real radio show because we're talking all about movies that are set at radio stations, have to do with radio personalities, in honor of Alan Partridge. You know, you ever seen that thing from the UK starring Steve Coogan, Alan Partridge?
No, I have not.
Oh, here comes Alan Partridge right now. Oh, no, it's Dave Isaac, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, yes. Yeah. And this, by the way, is from Alan Partridge, Cuddly Toy by Roachford. Roachford, thank you for bringing us into the show today. Yeah. Oh, you want to talk too?
Oh, there I am. What is Roachford?
Oh, hi, Johnny. Are you still here?
Yeah, I know. Can you?
Yeah.
That's
now,
2 weeks
Roachford,
in a row. Eric.
I know. And hey, I got to start the show again.
Eric, how did he do?
Oh, he did a wonderful job.
Are we going to call it now the Joe Show?
Yes.
Oh, no.
And how did Eric like the Joe Show?
I thought it was very good.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
Well, we have a whole segment in the middle of today's show all about the Phoenix Film Festival. I promise it'll probably be the last time we talk about it for a little while.
It was great, though.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. It's my first time at it, and I was impressed.
And, of course, Trisha's here with us in studio as well.
Woohoo!
You know, the worst part about the movie were the two people sitting behind us that were talking through the whole movie and were eating their snacks, like the wrappers. They were going...
Oh, no.
I just wanted to turn around and slap him.
I am very sorry. I should have sat somewhere else.
Was that you?
No.
No, it was some guy and his wife, and they were just sitting there.
Wow.
Like, every scene in the movie, they were like talking. Not even whispering. They were talking.
You know, I think I sat in front of them in another movie as well.
And like a gray-haired guy and his wife. And
I said, it was Sheriff Joe.
It might have been in disguise.
Well, and I think they brought their snacks like in a pretty big backpack kind of bag.
They were like, everything they were eating had a huge crunchy wrapper.
Yeah. Well, and crunchy. That's why they had to talk so loud, because I think I remember them going.
Do you remember that?
Well, that's the thing. When you go to a film festival, it's like a family. You're with the same people the entire, you know, festival. And so if you go to multiple movies, people like to choose the same seats. So if they're behind you doing that in one movie, chances are they're going to be there in another movie.
Well, they were up in the back left at the very last row up top.
Oh,
Oh wow.
Terrible. Well, maybe they weren't the same people then, because ours was like the second row back of the elevated section.
And the thing is, if you're going to talk during the movie, you should not be at a film festival. Only people who love movies and you want to, you know, and just become one with the movie should be at film festivals.
Well, I don't understand how you're going to get anything out of a movie if you're just talking through it the whole time.
I agree.
Why go to a movie if you're going to gab through the whole thing?
Yeah. I think we should have movie etiquette
I think
show.
We'll probably do a movie etiquette show one day, because I can't stand cell phones, people texting. You know, fortunately, I didn't see very many texting people
at
the festival.
At the beginning of the show, the guy comes out and introduces Randy Murray.
Yeah.
And then he says, okay, you know, everybody turn off your cell phones. And the reason they wanted them off was because they don't want you filming it.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, like I'm going to sit there for an hour and a half with my cell phone filming a movie so I can upload it.
Some people do.
Well,
I know they do.
Yeah, some people do that, but they also text, and all the lights coming up from them, it's distracting sometimes too, you know, from
like
the cell phone.
Looks
exactly,
like UFOs.
Exactly.
We'll do a show all about movie etiquette and all the horrible things that you can do in a movie theater.
We had a show like that.
We had a segment, but I'm not talking about...
Remember they found the dead body?
Right, I'm not talking about those horrible things. I'm talking about the inconsiderate things.
Like you used to do at a drive-in in the backseat of a car.
That's not in... Well, I don't know.
Hand check.
Like the rats.
Well,
above
like
the table.
That.
Hands, everyone, hands.
Oh, no, I meant at the drive-in. It's always hand check. You know, if your friends are in the car next to you and you're there with your sweetheart,
and then
all of a sudden they call out hand check and you have to have your hand.
You do? I didn't know that.
Yeah, that was when I was a teenager.
Wow, I had no idea.
What, like 3 years ago?
You're so sweet. Oh, I like you, Eric. I'll pay you later. Now, you know one thing that got me? When we were in to watch The Trouble with the Truth, mm-hmm. and Leah Thompson was in the front row with some of her family, and then they had saved the rest of that row for studio representatives and some of the writers' family and connections. So they had, you know, that tie off at the mm-hmm. one end, and Leah's sitting at the other end, and her family's at that end towards her. People were actually climbing over the barrier.
Oh, yeah.
To go sit down there.
Yeah.
Even though it's roped off and everything. Well, I get that all the time with the press section.
And you see the star sitting right there.
Yeah.
And they're going, excuse me. And then one of them actually rolled their eyes.
Oh, yeah. They were mad.
When they're going, you can't save that many seats. And so I kind of jumped in and I go, excuse me, those are saved for the studio representatives. You know, okay.
But Trisha was here, keeping.
But they're saying this to Leah Thompson. It's like, are you blind?
Cop, though.
Are you blind? Well, so I just finally took over because
not
it was
a lot
like,
of people know who she is. Probably, I mean, people are very bold when they want something; they'll just go do it.
Well, yeah. I'll tell you, she is so petite and so slender, and when her hair's not curled, it's straight. If you don't know her face well, you wouldn't recognize her. But she's just gorgeous, gorgeous woman.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk more about her when we talk more about the festival. I'm sure that you guys will want to chime in about the movie and stuff like that. And we'll talk about the entire week of films. Some we can talk about, and some of them we have to kind of save our reactions to. But, so we've got a lot of stuff going on today. Speaking of the Phoenix Film Festival, we're going to check in with the folks on behalf of two of our former favorite films from the 2013 Phoenix Film Festival.
Favor
and Putzel. We've got guests on behalf of those films joining us today.
Those were two of our favorite last year, and really good people, too. We
Absolutely.
Had them in studio.
Yeah, and you know that I love eating, right? You love food?
Does it look like it?
Who doesn't?
Yes, and we know that Eric loves food.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Because
I eat once a day, I love food?
No,
because
Kathleen always does so many nice things for you, and she brings you food all the time.
Right, but that's usually like the only meal of the day. I don't sit there and chow down all day long.
Maybe the only meal of today should be at the Scottsdale Culinary Festival, because we're going to have on Top Chef Fabio Viviani live from the Scottsdale Culinary Festival, where he will be there today.
He should be here and do a little cooking for us.
I know. Well, he's really busy because he's going to be over there doing cooking for people over there, but he's going to give us a really cool recipe.
How am I going to go over there when I'm here all day?
I don't know. I'm just trying to roll with it.
Trying to segue.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, just but kinda... it sounds yummy. This is when I wish we had like multi-dimensional radio show where we could have smell and taste and all that stuff.
And you know, it is our radio show in honor of this first movie we're going to talk about here in just a few moments, Alan Partridge. Again, it's always a radio show, but today it's all about movies that take place at radio stations and movies that have to do with radio personalities. And you know, we always have these experts on to talk about whatever topic. The topic of the day. Well, the topic of today is radio, and you know we're experts, so we're gonna give folks a little bit behind the scenes look at what goes on behind the scenes at Breakthrough Entertainment. I'll tell people how the show comes together.
That's daring.
Some of our personalities, who we are, are we the same people off the mic as on the mic?
I'm never on the mic.
Divulge all of that.
We're gonna divulge it all. So stay tuned around
in
the 10 o'clock hour.
Are we the same with or without Mike Tyson?
What?
You said Mike.
Same with as Mike Tyson.
Or Mike. How
wide is Mike Tyson?
Yeah.
Magic. Oh, you saw Magic?
Oh, yeah. I saw Magic.
Oh, really? Did you see? Yeah, Greg did.
Oh, Greg's here.
He had to explain. Oh, you are.
Oh,
here.
Man. Oh.
Oh, I'm there kidding. He is.
Well, anyway.
So stay.
Placing one. Oh, no, there
no,
I am.
I,
now
I
I'm here.
Today's a special day. It's the radio show. We're going to sing all day.
Stay tuned for all the secrets of what goes on behind Breakthrough Entertainment.
Right. We're going to shed some light on what goes on behind the scenes of Breakthrough Entertainment.
Secret here is your haircut. I like it.
Yeah,
thank you.
Very
it's good.
Thank you.
All the women should be after you.
We'll see.
We'll see.
We got things going on.
Oh, good. Can we know about it?
Well, because you're going to be talking about all the behind-the-scenes stuff,
yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm sure one of the movies we'll talk about, of course, is Private Parts, which
yes.
is my favorite movies ever. And so, yeah, you could talk about some of the
why
women.
Why is he talking about Private Parts and my haircut?
No.
Okay, I know.
No, he knows where we're getting at, but they
right.
won't.
So no, I
excuse me? Who's they?
No, we know. But I Dave, no, Dave. I said Dave won't.
Oh,
not
I thought
they.
You said they.
Yeah. I just saw something about Mary, and I like your hair.
Oh, thank you very much. You like that little curl up
hair
front there,
gel?
Right? Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. Yeah. All right, well, let's get right into Alan Partridge. You know, again, that's what we're celebrating today. That's what we are.
You know, I love the Partridge Family. It's one of my favorites. I can't wait to hear.
Alan them. Was the eldest child.
Oh, he, yeah, that's what I thought.
Yes. Well, this
should
is
we a, sing that song?
You can sing it, but I you know. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about real Alan Partridge.
Oh.
This is actually a bit from the UK. It was really popular. I had never heard of it until now. But if you look back, I mean, he's been doing this for like I think 20 years. Yeah. Steve Coogan, of course, is Alan Partridge. Mm-hmm. He's a great actor, right? We saw him in Philomena.
Where else?
Last year.
And oh, we got something.
Yeah, oh, here we go, Dave.
Yeah, he's
I thought I'd just throw
oh,
some
there
music
we go.
On.
I love this.
Happy.
Is that the Partridge Family?
Yes.
Yeah.
Perfect. No.
I
but Steve Coogan is amazing. One of my favorites with him,
hey,
of course, was
Eric.
In...
A thumbs up for Eric.
Come on, get happy.
What was the one? Oh, Tropic Thunder.
Yeah.
For the short time he was in that.
Right, right. Well, he's been in a lot of things, and you know, really funny guy, kind of a dry humor, really witty guy. Mm-hmm. But in this, Steve Coogan in Alan Partridge opened yesterday. Steve Coogan plays a DJ whose radio station is taken over by a new media conglomerate, setting in motion a chain of events which sees him having to work with the police to defuse a potential violent siege.
Ooh.
Basically, they fire one of his coworkers, and this coworker comes in and with a weapon and decides to hold everyone hostage.
Sounds like a post office.
Post office?
Isn't that with Eric? Don't they do that at post offices?
Only at post offices?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Something about a gun, you know, postal workers.
I didn't say postal workers.
Oh.
You're talking about going postal.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Okay. Is that what he...
Back to you, Joseph.
All right. Well, yes. Oh, sorry. Wow. Basically, this guy goes postal at a radio station that he formerly worked at. And, you know, so it's up to Alan Partridge to defuse the situation. This I don't know if he's really a bad guy, this disgruntled employee.
Is this a comedy? Or?
Yes, it's an action comedy. And this disgruntled employee says that he will only speak with Alan Partridge, not the police. So Alan Partridge has to act as the middleman, the go-between, and he, you know, also it's all broadcast on the air. So the entire hostage situation is on the air. And Alan Partridge kind of really likes the fact that this is building his celebrity, you know? So, because, you know, and it all takes place at, you know, Mid-Morning Matters, North Norfolk Radio. By the way, we are simulcasting today on North Norfolk Radio.
Ooh.
Wait, that's not our call station.
Norfolk Digital.
Is it, Eric? Did we switch?
Simulcasting.
I don't know what Joseph's talking about.
Yeah, I have no
idea.
It
is the radio station. I'm going to try to work in these radio stations.
Oh, from the movie.
Of each of these shows, each of these movies.
Oh, there's a radio station in this
that's
movie.
A radio station
hey,
in...
Yeah. Do your movie Alan phone Partridge. Impression. I love
no,
that.
We'll do the movie phone
okay.
impression in a
I love
bit.
That, though.
But that's the radio station in Alan Partridge, and he runs this show called Mid-Morning Matters.
He does great as Jason Statham. Them Jason Bourne and Jason Argonaut.
Yeah.
He's Jason Goodrick.
Isn't it? Yeah. All right. Well, okay. So, did you see the trailer for this, Dave?
I did.
You're a radio celebrity yourself. So
yes.
What'd you think of the trailer?
Well, it looked funny, but it also looked silly. So, I couldn't tell. You know, some movies are just hysterically funny, but others, there's a fine line when it becomes too silly. When it comes too silly, I don't like them. When it's good, sophisticated humor, it's fun. I like it. I can't tell what the trailer.
Usually so you must like love the Three Stooges.
That was silly.
That's the thing. Usually he does like the really silly stuff.
Oh, I do?
I'm a little lost now.
You mean there's something
about we'll have
about
to
Mary?
Talk more about our in our behind the scenes.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
oh,
we
no.
will.
The reason I brought up Statham and Bourne and the other guy is it says that Steve Coogan also played them in this movie. But
well,
when I said it, you looked like you weren't sure, so that's why
it's possibly an impression, because there are a lot
okay.
of jokes. You know,
so on IMDb, they actually put that.
That's weird. That's,
yeah. So someone must have been messing with their website or something.
Possibly. I don't know. Or maybe I just didn't get it because, you know, a lot of the British humor, sometimes I don't get.
Yeah.
Do you always get the British humor?
Not the humans. I do.
Yeah. I
do.
I didn't at first, yeah. You know, back when I was younger. But then, you know, Benny Hill kind of caught on and just okay. kind of went.
Well, a lot of it I find too dry.
Really?
Yeah. This was perfect. This was this was hilarious.
This looks good.
Rubs right up against that line that you were talking about, Dave. It does not cross it. It, you know, there's some really hilarious physical gags in the movie. I mean, one time he's trying to jump out a window and his pants get stuck. And
I saw him in a toilet once.
Yeah, he's actually in a toilet.
Yeah. And the guy's a gun. They're about to shoot him.
An RV toilet.
Oh, that was an RV toilet.
That was an RV toilet. So he climbs down. I don't know how he got in there, but
sort of like Meet the Parents with the little doggy or the cat got in or something.
Yeah, well, this is an actual man that's in a you know.
Wow.
And if you know anything about an RV toilet, it's pretty small. The mm-hmm. the actual, what do you
bowl.
Call that?
The toilet bowl.
Yeah, the stuff that's underneath.
And not
why'd
even
you look at me when you asked that question?
Because you're smart. You know all these things.
He thinks you drop
toilet bowls?
You drop the kids off at the pool.
He knows about the tidy man. Isn't that the little guy in the toilet?
That's tidy bowl man.
Oh, tidy bowl man.
Tidy
he has a
cat.
Cape.
The
he flies
tidy,
around.
Tidy cat. Oh.
The tidy
oh.
bowl man.
Oh. Anyway, yeah, we've already said that Steve Coogan is a really funny guy. Yeah. This is the perfect showcase for his incredible wit. He's really funny in this movie. You know, again, the physical comedy is hilarious, but I think the thing that stands out above everything else in this movie is the rapid-fire one-liners. I think that's what Steve Coogan is best at. Mm-hmm. He just, I mean, just rolls off his tongue. Perfect delivery in this movie. You know, it's a dry, over the top sense of humor. So maybe that's what you're catching on at, Dave. That you're so sometimes it's too silly. This it's over the top, but it's funny. You know, the way that they present it.
And Steve Coogan's a genius. I mean, with things he's written and been involved in. But yeah, now I'm thinking back. Of course, the night at the museum. Of
yes.
course, where he plays Owen Wilson's little buddy over there. And but the other guys is what I forgot about. And a movie that I thought was funny. Will Ferrell, not Matt Damon, Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, I get them mixed up all the time.
I did
time.
Not care for that one, but okay.
A lot of people didn't. I did think it was funny. But one of the funniest scenes. It wasn't just really one scene, but they put it all together in one. It's when Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg kept going to Coogan's office because they were going to try to ask him questions, and Coogan would go, "Oh, here's tickets to the Knicks game. Oh, here's tickets to the play," and Will Ferrell would go, "Oh yeah," right? You know, and Ferrell's supposed to be a cop to ask him questions, but the way Steve Coogan did that was great.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. His delivery. Steve Coogan is just a brilliant comedian, and you know, and since he's been doing this character for 20 years, he's you know, he must be an expert at it.
And I have something interesting about him. I don't think you said that.
What?
I'm looking him up, and this Alan Partridge character is depicted as being sexually repressed and prudish man, uncomfortable and awkward, with overt, even subtle displays of sexual romantic feelings of what he views as being perverted and sexual practices.
Okay.
What?
Wow, yeah,
that's probably
me.
From IMDb too, right? No, it's not. Wikipedia.
Yeah, so I really got a good capture of this character.
Well, that's the thing, is that if he's been doing this for 20 years, he's really created this entire persona of this guy. And so I know that some of those things come out in this movie, but it's more about the hostage situation. We really get to know that he wants to be a celebrity, and he will do anything to be that celebrity.
On the radio.
I was going to say, sorry to interrupt, I bet one Steve Coogan movie that you really like is 24 Hour Party People.
No.
You don't like it?
It's okay.
Oh, okay.
Not like really like. It's okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
I was wrong. I will leave now.
But you know, but he is a genius. Comedian. So and if you are a huge fan of his, then definitely go see Alan Partridge. Needless to say, I'm giving it a thumbs up. Not just because we're all on the radio, but just as a comedy, it is a hilarious movie. And another thing that I really liked about this movie was the soundtrack, and it really uses these particular songs as crescendos for not only the comedy. But also, I mean, because that first song that brought us into the show, Cuddly Toy, that is the first song that's in the movie. He's in his car. He's singing along. He's like using his hands, taking them off the wheel, and just having a good time singing this song. I've never heard that song before, Cuddly Toy by Rich.
And now you like it.
And now, it's fun. I mean, so that's why I love music that is in movies, because it introduces you to these new songs that you've never heard before, and you become a fan of these artists, and just it creates a trigger in your mind.
Especially when the actors are performing it in the movie and stuff like that, because, it adds something to it, I think, a little bit.
And, you know, it also has, like, a little bit of emotion in the movie as well. Not only, you know, it makes you maybe think about how you perhaps will do anything to become a celebrity or do, you know, whatever. Are you going to think about people's safety first, or are you going to think about, you know, from a selfish point of view, like Steve Coogan's character does?
Oh, yeah. And this wasn't about becoming a celebrity, but remember that Eva Mendes movie where there was a reality TV show and it was playing the game where you put the gun to your head on the I forgot what it was
Russian
called.
Russian Roulette.
Yes. And I forgot the movie was called. I'll bring it up here in a little bit. But they would, those people would do anything for money, even die for it. It was just crazy, but a satire really on how
right
the world could be.
And so it is a really good, you know, like you said, satire. This is a good satire on human behavior, you know, and celebrity. Because, you know, we see a lot of these people at the film festival. Even we met everyone, was really nice. But I'm just saying, sometimes celebrities will do anything and kind of have that facade. And we will talk a little bit about our own facades, perhaps, in our behind the scenes
thing.
That's
right. We will talk about what will Joseph do to be a star.
And that movie was called Live, by the way.
Live, right. And but another part of the soundtrack for this, for Alan Partridge, is the emotional sentimentality. And the song that's going to bring us actually into the break is Always On My Mind by Willie Nelson. They play this song a couple times in the movie, and it's got a really emotional kick in the movie that's really hilarious. It's funny and sentimental at the same time. And you will never think of this song the same way after seeing Alan Partridge. And you must see Alan Partridge. Giving it a big thumbs up. Go see it this weekend.
Absolutely. Ooh. And it's nationwide,
but it's a select theaters.
Limited
release, but it's, you know. Still, and it's on video on demand as well, I believe.
Oh, and I like this song.
Yeah. Willie Nelson's a good singer.
No doubt about it. And this is 1480 AM KPHX Breakthrough Entertainment. Joseph Now, starring as Breakthrough Thinking Entertainment, I should
Greg
say.
Greg, should I turn the microphone off?
Yes.
No, listen to this voice. Come on, Joseph.
Off, Eric. Get it off.
All right, and we'll be right back. Hold you all those lonely times. And I guess I never told you I'm so happy that you're mine. Little things I should have said and done, I just never took the time. When you were always on my mind.
This is 1480 KPHX Phoenix.
KPHX.
Yeah, you got to say it right.
KPHX.
There you go.
And that is Greg Isaac from Private Parts.
I thought it was Pig something or other.
Oh, Pig Vomit. One of my favorite
actors. I didn't know if I could say that. All right.
Paul Giamatti. Yeah. Oh, can you say that?
He said it at the same time.
Yeah, why can't you say that?
You can't say Pig?
I didn't want you to think you were talking about him and all that.
Yeah.
Pig Vomit. Yes, Paul Giamatti.
From Private Parts, You Really Got Me by Van Halen.
Yeah.
Love that song. That's my type of song.
It is Breakthrough Entertainment's radio show.
Yes, 1480 AM KPHX.
HX.
Wow. HX.
And if you don't know what we're talking about, then go rent Private Parts.
Yes.
Which is a good movie anyway. Who is the star of Private Parts, in case people don't know?
Howard Stern.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of people don't... like, you know, they don't care for him, even though they don't know anything about him. I've never heard the show. They don't care for him. But he's one of the greatest broadcasters.
Yeah, he's that guy from America's Got Talent.
Yeah, AGT.
Hey, AGT, nice.
And as for his first movie, that's actually a good movie.
Oh, he was great.
Yeah, I mean, that's really a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
He's talented.
And he's definitely a case study in having an on-radio persona versus his actual persona. Yeah.
Yes. And
like us, we're all totally different off the air.
Yes.
Right. Well, we'll find out. We'll find out.
I'm not.
And
oh,
by
no.
And by the way, just like Alan Partridge, Private Parts has an excellent soundtrack as well.
It does. Yes.
Oh,
yes. I have it. One
yes.
of the best.
Yeah, excellent. All right. So now, again, we've got on, we're talking a little bit more about the Phoenix Film Festival, but this time we're going to talk about the 2013 Phoenix Film Festival. It is 2014, but we have on very special guests, writer-director Paul Osborne and actor Blaine Weaver joining us right now on behalf of Favor, which is going to be available on Video On Demand on...
April 22nd, I believe.
Is that right, guys?
That's right.
Hey, how did I know that? Guys, how are you?
Doing well, thank you. How are you doing?
We're doing great. Of course, Paul, we saw you this year, last week or this week, I guess. But it's always a pleasure to have both you, Paul, and Blaine on, because that was truly one of my favorite movies. Phenomenal movie.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure to play for you, put it that way.
Well, yeah, and let me tell our listeners a little bit about the film. Blaine Weaver, again, who is one of the folks joining us right now, he plays a man whose perfect life is put in jeopardy when the waitress with whom he has been having a casual fling is accidentally killed in their motel room. He asks his childhood friend, played by Patrick Day, to dispose of the body, but the favor begins the unraveling of their relationship. And Paul Osborne, who's also joining us, you won Best Director last year?
And then we went for Best Screenplay.
Best Screenplay. Excellent. And definitely deserved that. I would say probably deserved Best Director as well.
Well, I agree with that.
That's what I think. I think we should go back and retroactively adjust the award.
I do have a time machine. We could go back in time. But I second that motion. I mean, it's a great screenplay. I think it should have been Best Movie as well. I thought it was that good.
Excellent.
Well, you guys are awesome, by the way. I think your taste is impeccable.
Yeah, thank you. I'm the most interesting man in the world.
Oh, yeah. There's no I don't know. I like it better than Private Parts, honestly. Because I don't know if you heard him. He said that he's no Private Parts. But I think it's better than Private Parts. But, you know, so tell us a little bit about the journey. Did you go to, aside from the Phoenix Film Festival, take us back through this last year. Were there other film festivals? What notable things did Favor run into?
Well, you know, we did. We actually, the Phoenix Film Festival was our premiere, our very first screen for anybody in the theater ever. And then we spent, you know, the whole year doing festivals. I think the highlight, other than Phoenix, of course, the highlight, I think Blaine would agree with me, was the Napa Valley Film Festival, because they give you so much wine. We drank literally, I think, a bathtub of wine in 2 days.
And bathtubs are only used in certain commercials these days.
I mean, it just kept, like, you go to your screening room and they go, there's three bars in this room. Like, you're in the theater. You're actually physically in the theater, and there's three drinking stations.
My kind of theater.
Yeah, you think you like the movie now? You should try it after a bottle of wine.
Or a bathtub of wine.
Well, no, in my case, during our screening, I drank Stella Artois Cidre. That's actually a whole station just for their cider. And that's what I enjoyed, because I was already like, I've had 40 bottles of wine today. I think I'm ready to move on to something else for 10 minutes.
Wow. And so did you pick up any other wins along the way?
You know, the biggest win that we got, again, besides Phoenix, was at the Tallgrass Film Festival. We won the Stubbornly Independent Award. Mm-hmm. And what that is in addition to giving you the centerpiece screening slot of the entire festival, like Saturday at 8 p.m. screening slot, you get $2,500 from Vimeo. That was nice. That came in very handy. It was hard wrangling that check from Blaine's hands.
Yeah, I got to go to the Wichita Tallgrass Film Festival, and once they gave me that check, you know, I didn't get paid a lot of money for this movie. Come on, guys. Like, hey, it was funny that they give me the big, like, the big crazy check, right, Blaine? They give me, like, the big, you know, like, a game show
check. Yeah, like, the 4-foot-tall check.
This is awesome. Wow. And you get an award. It's really cool. But, you know, when you sell your movie for distribution, you have to do what's called the deliverable, and you end up paying a lot of money. And I think, you know, it's like between $5,000 and $10,000 just to give your movie over to them.
Really?
And that $2,500 came in very handy. It paid for a lot of stuff. I think it paid for all our physical delivery costs.
Wow.
Which is kind of amazing.
That is
an amazing gift. Yeah,
that's excellent. And who did end up picking it up, and who will be releasing it, and when did that deal come about?
Well, it came about right around the time of the Austin Film Festival, which is a big deal for us. We were required there by Gravitas Ventures, and they're putting us out on video on demand on April 22nd. So 9 poultry days from now, you can go see Favor on any major cable provider as a pay-per-view movie. You can get it on iTunes, Xbox, PS3, Google Play, YouTube, Box Office, any of the major Amazon video on demand, any of the major video on demand carriers, any cable provider you have will have us as a pay-per-view movie. And that is all because Gravitas acquired us at the Austin Film Festival. But I can announce today on this show, on this radio show right now, for the first time anywhere, I can announce something really special. We were just acquired for DVD by Kino Lorber.
Oh, congratulations.
World premiere announcement on this show right now.
Wow, breaking news.
Breaking news has not been said anywhere. I tweeted yesterday that we signed a deal. Didn't say with who. Didn't say when. We're expecting it to be late summer for DVD. Don't have a firm date yet, but DVD and possibly Blu-ray. If they don't do Blu-ray, then Blu-ray will be put out by us separately. It's all worked out, baby.
Well, congratulations. Nice. That is very exciting. We appreciate that exclusive, and thank you to Kino Lorber for doing that for you guys. That's excellent.
They're a great company. I mean, they're sort of like the a Criterion Collection Junior. They put out a lot of eclectic movies, foreign films, old silent movies, a lot of cool stuff, and then a lot of newer movies. We're just really happy that they took an interest in this, dark little thriller. But they were great. All the negotiations. I just talked to their DVD extras guy, and he's like, "Oh, we can pack this thing up for you, man. We want to load it up." So they're really into making really definitive editions too, which is nice.
Well, that's
so
great.
We're gonna work with them. Yeah, there's some really great extras that are going to be coming your way.
It's really great to get that type of distribution, and everyone should see this movie. And speaking of the movie, getting back to that a little bit, besides Blaine's great performance, I thought Patrick Day was fantastic. What is he doing? Do you stay in touch?
Oh yeah, Patrick is actually he lives in LA here, and he runs an acting school called Young Actors Space, which is about 10 minutes from where I'm sitting right now. Pat and Blaine have been involved since before the beginning, before the thing was even written. So they're both still very much involved. In fact, Patrick, as soon as I said, we're going to make this movie, and I showed him the script, he would text me every day or call me, and he'd say, "When do we shoot?" That was every day through, developing the script, every day through through raising the money, every day through pre-production, to until we were on set. "When do we shoot?" I said, "Now." We shot. The day we wrapped, I got home, I picked up my phone, he texted me, "When do we screen?" Come on, give me 5 minutes every day. "When do we screen? When do we screen? When do we screen?" It's a year cutting the movie and finishing it. And then finally, we screened it at my house for him. The very first thing I was sent to by anybody. And I'm like, "Oh, I'm drifting off to sleep." My phone goes, "Eh." I look at it. It's packed. "When do we shoot?" So I haven't got my "when do we shoot" text today, but I guarantee you it'll be coming in the next hour. This is literally how involved he is. Every day he just has to torture me that we haven't been shooting.
Well, and what's interesting is last year when you guys were in studio with us, again, we're speaking with Blaine Weaver and Paul Osborne on behalf of Favor, which will be on video on demand beginning April 22nd. When you guys were in studio with us last year, there was a joke where we actually, one of you said that Patrick Day reminds some people of pig vomit we were just talking about. Right? Not pig vomit, but
Hey, we didn't say that. Did
Paul Giamatti. Yeah. Didn't one of you guys said that, right?
No, not Patrick Day.
Or did we say it?
No, you said it.
He's chameleon-like, like Paul Giamatti is, I would say.
Oh, there you go.
He reminds me more of Jeremy Renner. And when I see Jeremy Renner in a movie, I kind of think, "God, Pat with hair, it's weird, it's freaking me out." Apparently, Pat and Jeremy, before Jeremy broke big, were always going off to the same auditions because they're so similar. And they always see each other like, "Oh, yep. You again, yep." And by the way, Paul Giamatti, no matter what he does in his career, he'll always be pig vomit to me. I'm just going to put that out there.
Yes, and I think you're not alone on that one.
Yeah. It's a great performance. Like, I really do love, I wasn't joking, I love Private Parts. I think it's a great movie, and I'm not a Howard Stern fan. That movie is such a great film. Betty Thomas did a great job directing it. He's fantastic in it. And But then, like, the film elevates another level when Paul Giamatti shows up. And you're like, who is this guy? And so good.
He's a great. But how about guys in Sideways? Talk about that. I thought he was fantastic.
Speaking of wine.
Yeah.
A friend of mine, Scott Storm, he directed 10 Till Noon. He made We Run Stuff. I can't say the actual last word of that title on the radio.
Right.
And it was a star of Official Rejection, a good friend of mine. If he and I fused into one human being, it would be Paul Giamatti from Sideways.
Wow.
We've always joked about that. It's crusty writer. It's basically, he's got the crusty, and I've got the writer, and we turn into that. That's who we'd turn into. If we fused our pictures, we would look like Paul Giamatti.
Well, and Paul, we were so glad to see you at the Phoenix Film Festival. It's an honor to always see you in person. So tell us, what did you see at this year's Phoenix Film Festival that really impressed you?
You know, I saw a lot of good stuff, but the last two movies I saw, the last three movies that I saw at the festival were all like, oh my God. I saw The Joe Show, which is absolutely fantastic. I was really blown away by that one. Little Hope is Ours, also absolutely fantastic. The two docs, like, which one do I like better? I don't know, they're both so good. And then I saw The House That Jack Built, which I loved it. I wasn't on my radar. I wasn't going to see it. And that morning, I think I raised a friend, Jesse Carney, at the hotel, and he's like, what do you think today? So I'm seeing The Joe Show, I'm not sure what else. And he says, oh, go see House That Jack Built. I'm like, really? The guy with the family in the house? Nah, really? It sounds terrible. He's like, no. I thought it was really terrific. And that one, best screenplay, best director, and best picture.
Yeah.
And I thought, deservedly so. I mean, there were a lot of really good films this year. I saw, 45 RPM, Teddy Bears, Tina Herrings, which I actually advocated to get to the festival because I know the filmmaker. A lot of really good stuff. Misfire. And the opening film, Locke, I thought was pretty darn good. And I was really impressed at how well they were able to execute basically one guy talking in a car on his phone for 90 minutes. But those last three, I thought, were just stellar. House of Jack Built, I could have gone for another hour. I would have been totally happy. It was so good.
Yeah. And so, what have you guys been up to? Blaine Weaver, Paul Osborne, what can we see you guys doing next?
You go first.
Well, we're really focused right now on favoring the fact that you can, by the way, pre-order all of that stuff that Paul was talking about, like right now, which actually helps us with our iTunes placement and all that jazz.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're interested, you should definitely go there. But I'm a writer-director in my own ilk, and I've got a movie that I'm shooting this summer, and, just going out and auditioning and looking for the next part,
Wonderful.
Well, I do have to say, I was a listener when you guys were on the show last year, and I was very impressed by that. But I, since then, have learned that to get all of these folks to hold your favorite film in favor is a big deal because they have very varying tastes. And so the fact that all of them have given it a thumbs up, I'm excited to be able to watch it on video on demand. And I know a lot of our listeners will be very excited that it's coming out on DVD as well so that you can watch it more than once.
Oh, yeah, you can own it on the format of your choice, I think is the idea.
Yeah.
We're also doing a special promotion with iTunes, which I'll tell you about right now. We have a 30-minute behind-the-scenes comedy documentary called Party Favor, which is all basically just a bunch of outtakes, bloopers, on-set crazy stories. Blaine had a rivalry with our boom operator. There was a whole thing where spiders invaded the set and all this stuff. We have footage of all of this. So it's a 28-minute documentary. If you pre-order the film on iTunes, or on the day we come out, April 22nd, if you rent or purchase Favor on iTunes, and you email us at info@favormovie.com, a proof of purchase. They can be any kind of proof of purchase. You can take a picture with your phone of your like iTunes display on your computer. You can forward us your receipt from iTunes, whatever it is. And this fact that shows that you either pre-ordered it or purchased it or rented it on April 22nd, we'll send you a link where you can watch Party Favor. It's not available anywhere else.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. So, and again, that email is info@partyfavor.com, right? Info at favormovie.
Info@favormovie.com.
Okay.
Send it there. And if you rent it on April 22nd and you forget, you send it to us April 24th. As long as the receipt says April 22nd, we'll send you the link. The documentary will probably be available on DVD down the line, but right now this is the only way you can see it. And if you like the movie, it's absolutely hysterical. You get to see Blaine do a weird dance at the very beginning of the, in the credits of the doc. Pretty cool. Right. It's really something to see, people.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We can't wait to see that.
He's robot dancing, and when he swings his arms, the credits fly out of his arm.
and Paul, you didn't have a film at the Phoenix Film Festival this year. Maybe you wanted to give someone else a chance, but when will we see another film for you?
Well, you know, when you're an indie filmmaker and you're doing most everything yourself, it takes a long time. You can't really work on one while you finish up the other one. So on April 23rd, when Favor's out on VOD, I can breathe for 5 minutes. I'm going to start working on two projects, actually. And we have one that's already written called Small Hours that I wrote for Patrick Day. And the producers of Lonely Boy, which also played Phoenix last year, we met at Phoenix. We really got along, and they want to get involved with it. So we're going to package that and start shopping that around. We have a package. We have some tentative casting. We're just going to be looking for, the money. And then while that's shopping around, that's a bigger project, I'm going to be writing, and I'm going to be writing something that I can do smaller. So if there's a delay getting the investors for the bigger project, which often happens, we have a smaller project, so we're making something in the meantime. And that one is written for one Blaine Weaver. So it's all very impressive.
Oh, very. We loved Lonely Boy as well. That was one of our top four last year as well. So that's great.
Absolutely fantastic. Lonely Boy comes out on VOD, I believe, this summer. Oh. So you might want to keep an eye out for that one, because that's a really great movie. So it's like there's new pause of movies in the works, but they're in the works.
Okay.
I go to Phoenix every year whether I have a movie or not, because I love the festival so much. And it was actually really a joy just to go and just like watch movies and hang out and not have to worry about marketing anything. whether the projector went out, ate my movie, the lines are kind of low, ate my movie being screened. I mean, it was really nice. My daughter went with me, she's 16, and she watched on the first day, on Friday, she watched movies for 12 hours straight. The first one started at 11:20, the last one ended at 11:30.
Wow.
She was a movie warrior.
Wow.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, again, guys, we want everyone to go out and check out Favor on Video On Demand on April 22nd. Pre-order it right now, then send your receipt to info@favormovie.com. We want to thank writer-director Paul Osborne and actor Blaine Weaver so much for joining us on behalf of Favor. And both of you guys, you're welcome on the show at any time. We are counting on you to let us know whenever you've got a new project in the works. We want to be one of your first stops.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you
so much. That's awesome.
You guys have a great formula.
We're taking you up at it. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Much deserved. And, have a great day and best of luck with the release. Let us know how it goes.
You too, guys. Thank you so much.
Stay in touch. Thank you so much for having us on.
All right. Thanks a lot. Wow, they were great.
Yeah. Great movie as well.
So really
definitely
is.
Should check that out.
A suspenseful thriller, I would call it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was... some interesting twists and turns, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. We won't be spoiled.
No, don't spoil it for the list.
But it's good.
Because I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it.
We're going to get it on the Video On Demand. Yes. You're going to have to keep your mouth shut while we watch it.
Oh, no. My mouth is shut.
No spoilers.
And if you visit their Facebook page, they've got some interesting things on there where there's the characters are Lego characters. They made the.
I didn't like the Lego movie.
Well,
are we taking another break?
Yeah, let's take another break. Let's say okay. This is another song from one of Greg's favorite movies, Private Parts. You Shook Me All Night Long by AC/DC.
One of my favorites. I'm about to go on the table now.
Okay.
And do that little dance that main guy does. Remember? He just sort of slides around the table.
Yeah, what the heck?
I mean,
oh yeah,
Angus Young. You talking about?
Yeah, Black Angus Young.
No.
Oh,
that's a steakhouse.
Wow, that's come on, Joe. Joseph.
On. I don't know who Joseph.
You can sing this.
Nice. You
see?
Shook me up.
Excellent. Keep it going, Eric. Come on, join me.
It's too early for me to sing.
Yeah, that is early, and you have to really hit those high notes.
Yeah,
I'm like, one more time. Here we go now.
No, because they didn't.
Oh. Okay. Anyway, this
we'll
is,
save some of it.
This is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX. We'll be right back.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.
I'm not content to be with you in the daytime. Girl, I want to be with you all of the time. The only time I feel all right is by your side.
Hit it, Joseph.
Girl, I want to be with you all the time.
Of course, okay. All day and all of the night by the Kinks.
Come on, keep going. Greg's not here.
Well, I want to save some of it for some of our other really cool songs.
Oh, you got to save your voice.
Well, that too, yeah, because this song.
But this was a great time. Eric, you remember this?
Yeah, this is the first concert I ever went to was the Kinks.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And again, all these songs today are from movies about radio stations, set at radio stations.
Here we go now.
And this is from Pirate Radio, a great movie. Girl, I want to be with you all the time.
Radio Caroline. That's what Pirate Radio is, Radio Caroline.
Oh.
Was it? Oh, it was? Okay. Yeah. And then the original title for the movie was, do you know?
Offshore Radio? I don't know.
The Boat That Rocked.
Oh.
And in the UK, it was released as The Boat That Rocked.
Oh, I didn't know
there that. There were actually several of those boats all around Europe doing the same thing.
And this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX. Back to you, Joseph.
Well, of course, Pirate Radio was made by the same guy that made Four Weddings and a Funeral and About Time.
And Pirate Radio, the movie, was about the guy, what's his name, Philip Seymour.
Was he one of them? Yeah. Was he on the...
Yeah.
Was he, I don't remember.
I don't know. There's a lot
of...
I think he was one
of the DJs. Yeah. Yeah, he was the American DJ.
There was a lot of... great actors in Pirate Radio. Definitely check it out. Again, one of those soundtracks that you have to own. All these movies that we are talking about today, set at radio stations, have some of the most excellent soundtracks. A lot of them are two-disc special editions. I think Pirate Radio might be one of those that has a two-disc special edition.
Ooh,
because
nice.
They've got so many excellent songs. And so, yeah. But again, thank you so much to our guests that just joined us from Favor. Go check it out on Video On Demand.
Yeah, excellent.
I'm excited for that.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
But now, let's talk about another movie that just came out yesterday. I believe that it might also be on Video On Demand, but it's definitely playing in theaters. Rob the Mob. In this movie, Michael Pitt and Nina Arianda play a Queens couple that, specializing in robbing mafia social clubs, stumbles upon a score bigger than they could ever imagine and becomes a target of both the mob and the FBI in the process. It's actually based on a true story. There was actually this Queens couple. Do you remember this story?
Yeah. And actually, I read about the movie, too, which was before I'd heard about it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, very interesting concept. These guys, you know, this couple, I mean, they have a history of robbing places, and but then they decide, okay, well, we're going to hit the mob, and you know, because the mafia, they've got a bunch of money in the first place. In the second place, they become sort of heroes in the process because, you know, who likes the mafia?
Like
Robin Hood.
Yeah,
Robin Hood.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Very much so. So what did you think of the trailer for this, Dave?
Well, it looks like light entertainment. That's what
light
I put.
Entertainment.
Light, L-I-G-H-T.
What is that?
Or mean? L-I-T-E. Well, Miller Lite type of thing. What does that mean?
Less calories.
The calories.
No, just sort
but
of
most of the
lightheartedness
taste.
Movie, not dramatic.
Okay.
Sort
right.
of fun, it looks like.
I was going to say, speaking of the calories, I sent my regards to the toilet. That's where I was. I am back.
I hope the little man wasn't in there.
Yeah, was Alan Partridge in the toilet?
He was.
Did you hold a gun to him?
I had a conversation in British with him.
And I bet there was quite a knuckle.
Coogan was great.
Was there a big...
It was absolutely.
Was there a big echo though?
There was a little bit.
Does that mean he's a potty mouth?
Oh,
sorry.
Potty mouth.
Let's move on.
Right. Well, Rob the Mob.
MoveOn.org.
It's enough of this. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
I wish that Rob the Mob was as lighthearted as you thought it was, because in the beginning, it focuses on the... It's basically like Bonnie and Clyde. That's what these two characters are. They're Bonnie and Clyde-esque characters. They're played dynamically by these two wonderful actors. In the beginning, it has its comedic tone where, I mean, the guy goes in and to rob the mafia the first time, and he has his finger on the trigger of the gun, and he's just shooting all over the place. And, you know, he doesn't know what he's doing. He's very very inexperienced at this, and the mafia, they're kind of afraid of him, because not because they, you know, are afraid of what he's going to do, but they're afraid of he doesn't know what he's doing and who's he going to shoot.
Unpredictable.
Yeah, very much so. And you know,
not
so
like
that,
Woody Allen, though.
Right. Well, and that is hilarious. In the beginning, the first half hour or so is hilarious. It could have been a very captivating flick, but then you've got all these other characters that roll into the movie. You've got Ray Romano in the movie. You've got Andy Garcia, who shows up at one point. And so you've got all these other characters, and then it develops this dramatic tone. So then the rest of the movie is just not as good.
So when Andy Garcia showed up, you're thinking, wait, is this Godfather 4?
Well, no.
You weren't sure.
Well, there's,
right?
That's the other thing, is there's so many characters, you don't know who to pay attention to. In the beginning, it's just these two characters. You know, it's funny, but then you've got all these other characters, all these other subplots going on. You've got the FBI after them. You've got the mafia after them, which they could have played it for laughs, and it still would have been funny, even with all these characters, but it's so dramatic near the end. It loses all of its initial charm. It becomes completely... all that charm becomes lost in the process, as did my attention. I'm giving it a thumbs down.
Ooh.
So, unfortunately, I cannot recommend Rob the Mob.
Rob the Mob. Is Rob the first name?
No, Mob is.
Okay.
Right. Or yeah. It? Last, I was reading in a paper last weekend. And I saw that, and I read about it, and they said exactly the same thing. That they're like, you know, it had elements where it really could have been, but it just fell short. You know, it's like it couldn't decide whether it was like almost a dramatic documentary of what actually happened or fun and poking fun at it.
Yeah, the amateurish nature of the stick-ups and everything, that is what they should have focused on and made these guys heroes, but instead they made them heroes in a very dramatic way. And, you know, so very dry. Unfortunately, again, I'm giving it a thumbs down. But we've got a lot more coming up on Breakthrough Entertainment's radio show. In our at the beginning of our next segment, we are going to give you some behind-the-scenes looks at behind the scenes of Breakthrough Entertainment, what it goes on into making a radio show.
And the personalities.
Here's how it all works. I'll just wrap it up real quick. Yeah. I wake up, I drive to the station, I turn on a microphone.
No,
wow.
And you make good coffee.
Yeah.
Well, I bought it today.
Oh, and you have good comments.
That is the magic.
Thank
that
you.
Is Eric.
Well, yeah. we'll talk about from our perspective, and
but
I want to know what goes into producing.
We're going to get deeper into this, right?
Yes,
the
we'll go
secrets
some deeper.
Of all of us.
But of course, you know, maybe it's all just pirate radio. Again, this song, The Who, is going to bring us into our break. The Who, My Generation.
Yeah. You're playing all my great songs.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Wait, which movie is this from, though?
From Pirate Radio, which is a great movie.
Oh, Pirate Radio. Okay. Yeah.
Philip Seymour Hoffman, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I believe. That doesn't sound like my generation.
It started.
This is like the live version. I started in the middle because I wanted to end it at the same time the segment ended.
Oh, nice.
Oh,
okay.
I wanted.
There's another reason. Good work, Eric.
I wanted Joseph say.
Are you saying that I'm lying?
He's going for the instrumental.
Yes. Yeah.
Can't you do
we
that?
Had a meeting.
You can do that.
Talking about.
Yeah, that's it.
My generation.
Hey, he's copying you.
You can go the boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
My generation.
Oh, excellent.
My generation, baby.
Entertainment. Live, 1480 AM KPHX. We'll be right back.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good, so good. I got a year. Wow, I feel nice.
Hey,
good morning, Phoenix.
Oh, Phoenix Nom?
Phoenix Nom.
Oh.
Oh, we're in Phoenix.
Well, you said the KPHX, so I was...
Oh, you're right.
Good morning.
Sorry.
And, they are streaming us in Vietnam.
That's
so
why.
Good morning,
we're
Vietnam.
Everywhere.
In fact, we got a call right now from Vietnam. They love the song.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying.
Of course.
I've never actually seen the movie, so I didn't know how he said it. So that's why I was more of a...
And, of course, he, meaning...
Who?
Robin Williams. One of the greats.
Robert Williams.
Robert Williams.
Oh, he changed his name?
Uh-oh, here we go. Here we go.
Oh.
Here's the female version. Good morning, Vietnam! Vietnam!
Wow.
Wow.
She said Vietnam, too.
Yeah.
She went all the way from the toilet to
I
say
see
that.
What you mean, but...
She was in the potty. What's going on
well,
here,
I don't
Eric?
Think she wants to she go in there for a while. Oh, wait, look good. There's
that's
two
why
bathrooms
we have the door
here.
Shut right yeah. now. Well, yeah. This is like a bomb shelter in here, and we can keep...
Yes, you can stay alive for, you know, at least 10, 12
the
years.
The climate is different, because when we're in here, it will either be hot or cold sometimes. Today,
and
it's
what,
perfect.
What is it right now?
It's perfect.
It's perfect.
Okay. Eric, congratulations.
But then sometimes
perfect.
You go out there, it gets cold, because we're not, you know, but it also has to do with the weather outside. Nice today.
And, yeah. of course, James Brown sang us into this segment, I Feel yes. Good, from Good Morning Vietnam. What was the character's name?
Cronauer.
Yeah. Captain Kirk.
No,
we will find that out.
Oh, like we're going to find that
Cronauer
out.
You guys something keep like that. Going.
Yeah.
I will.
But Good Morning Vietnam. Great cast.
Yeah, Robin Williams is one of the best.
I actually saw it just a few years ago for the first time when it was being released on Blu-ray for like the 20th anniversary or something like that. Or
oh, really? Yeah, I still haven't seen it. I mean, I've known what it is actually when I was younger. When we'd be at the video store, mm-hmm. The movie I'd always rent was Ghostbusters 2, but
yeah.
But I always remember seeing the picture, you know,
yes.
Robin Williams with
the headphones,
on. Yeah, and
in
so,
front of the microphone.
There we go. Yeah, in 87, Adrian, Cronauer. Yeah, or Cronauer, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Great movie, so definitely check that out.
So, and now, as promised to the yeah. audience, we're going to reveal all the secrets of Joseph's dating life.
We're pulling back the curtain so you can see the wizard.
We're going to shed
Ooh,
some
the wizard.
Yeah, we're going to shed
the
some
wizard
light.
The Wizard of Oz.
Is that what Joseph calls it? Is that what you call your friend?
The Wizard of Oz. The Wizard of Oz. Right. We're going to call you Oz.
Pull back the curtain and the wizard comes out. So, yeah.
What if I do one of those flutes, you know, and do a snake charm?
Okay. Well, actually, we do have
ever
special
Eric
guest,
snake charming,
Ron Burgundy, yes. joining us.
I do that after work every day.
Oh, you do? The snake charming?
Yeah.
Does it work?
No.
Well, mine works with the blue pill.
Okay. Wow. Well, speaking of behind-the-scenes stuff, all right. We don't want to
say I already have a bit of a stomach.
Today's show, Breakthrough Entertainment, is all about movies set at radio stations, about radio personalities,
yes.
in honor of Alan Partridge.
Yes.
I gave it a big thumbs up. Definitely go and check it out. And as you know, anytime we have these themes, which is every week, we yeah. have on a special guest, an expert
yes.
in whatever topic it is. In the past, yes. we've had on an astronaut for gravity. We had on someone to talk about maritime piracy for Captain Phillips.
We've had a psychic?
We've had a psychic on, mm-hmm. yeah, for
We've
for
had
Carrie.
A RoboCop type of guy.
We had a cyborg for RoboCop, and, you know, we had even a snowman historian on behalf of Frozen.
Yes.
Have we had a stripper on?
Not yet. Actually, we've got a show coming up that's
the
not,
stripper
it's
show?
Not a stripper show, but it's something I'm going to tell you about it during the break.
This is wow. radio. We could have anybody on and say they're a stripper.
Yeah,
and
we could.
Would believe us.
Hi, my name's Pepper.
And I don't want to meet that stripper.
Pepper spray. Is that your name, Pepper?
If a stripper has that voice, I don't know if I want to meet her.
Some of them do, Joseph.
Okay, that sounds like Family Guy. But
Family Guy.
You mean Mr. Herbert?
Yeah.
All right, what are we doing now?
All right, so we're talking about behind the scenes of radio shows and radio personalities. So let me tell you a little bit how, you know, again, what we do.
Yeah.
Or let me back up. So we have on these experts. Today we are the experts. You know, I don't want to invite some other expert on behalf of radio programs because we're all experts here. Eric is an expert
an
at
expert.
Producing.
Yeah.
And
hosting.
And hosting.
No, Eric's actually the man.
Eric's
I've been doing it for a few years.
Oh, he's on there.
35 years for Eric.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, his whole life. Since he was
36.
A baby. Yeah.
Am I still your manager?
Yeah, but you haven't gotten me any jobs yet. What's up with that?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he's got to get on this.
He's trying to keep you all to himself because you got that sexy voice going.
Oh, yes. Wow.
That's me.
And we're all... We're
like Batman there. Yes, Batman.
Two Batmans in studio.
Dueling Batmans.
Wow.
I don't I'm Batman. Smile no, on you're my Batman. Face. I'm Batman. No, you're Batman. I am.
That was really good.
Well, I walked in on something about strippers.
Yeah, no, we're off of that now.
Yeah, we moved on.
We are?
And now we're with Batman. I'm just like, yes. Whoa, this is an eclectic show.
We're off on the stripper, yes.
Yeah,
what happened to the wizard?
Yes. But we're doing...
my jokes aren't good anymore.
But see, this is what goes... We try to plan these things, or I try to plan these things.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what I do each week. So what I do, first of all...
Yes.
I'm going to interrupt.
Yeah.
I am going to say, Joe, when you said, it is you, it is all you... Joseph produces the show. He does a great job.
And a great job.
Yeah, it's not really me.
Joseph. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Well, no, I meant
you're at the board.
Producing the board.
You're at the board. But
what I meant with Joseph is, yeah, getting the guests and everything. And then
that's really where the production lies.
And that's, I've just started to realize that. And so I'm starting to tell people when I, you know, pitch them the show, can you be a guest, you know, producer slash film columnist. Yeah, I was saying host. You're the host. I'm film columnist.
Like I said, all I do is roll out of bed and drive to the station.
No, you add a lot, Mr. Eric.
Yes.
We love you.
If you weren't here, we wouldn't be on the air.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure you'd figure it out.
And you could have a gourmet meal, but if you don't have that little bit of salt and that little bit of pepper...
Oh, I'm the salt and the pepper, am I?
And the lime.
You are what makes us.
You're the
delicious.
Lemon and the lime.
And see how it goes. Dave wasn't here today, and the show still came up. Went out. Yeah.
Sure,
right?
the show must go on.
And one of our best shows was that show where it's just us.
Yeah, it was a Frozen show. Yeah.
Oh, just great.
Oh, and the Thanksgiving show as well. You weren't here. That
but
was
who's the creator?
Show.
Come on, who's your daddy?
Right, you're the creator.
Who's your daddy?
But let me tell you a little bit about how I come up with these concepts.
Yeah.
Look at all the movies that are being released. And of course, okay, you think it's that easy. All I have to do is go see movies and review them all day.
And you have popcorn, too.
Yes. And how wonderful is that? Yes, I know how, you know, it's exciting. I'm very grateful to do what I do. But sometimes you have to see some bad movies. Mm-hmm. Rob the Mob is one of them.
And you can't stand up and walk out like
exactly.
a normal casual
observer.
You
got to see the whole thing.
Are you required to stay through the credits?
I'm not required, but...
it's a smart thing to do, though, because a lot of movies have some extra stuff in the credits that, you know, like the Joe Show had something at the end.
Yes, and you want to pay tribute to
homage.
Some of the people. Yeah, so everyone who actually made the movie, because a lot of people are behind the scenes of these movies. And but yeah, I look at the movies that are being released, and for example, in a couple weeks, we've got a movie coming out called Words and Pictures. It is a teacher movie, a movie all about teachers. And Words, an English teacher versus an art teacher. It's a drama starring Clive Owen and Juliette Binoche. And so I figure out which movie, not necessarily that I like the most. I might not have even seen a movie, but I pick which movie has the most potential to build a show around. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this week I picked Alan Partridge because it is a radio show, and I knew that we could build a show around it. And there's other teacher movies, so I'm building a show around the Words and Pictures movie. But, of course, I see all the other movies, but I pick that one movie that we're going to focus on, and then I start building our guests. We try to get at least one guest here on Breakthrough Entertainment that represents that topic. And so today we are the experts, but on the teacher show we're going to have on an English teacher and an art teacher.
Mm.
And so I start doing these pitches. And I
not
see...
Mary Kay Letourneau?
No, probably not. Okay. Probably not for that.
She
show.
Went to my high school.
Really?
I went to high school while she was there. I was in high school with her.
Wow.
Oh.
Hey,
who is she?
A friend of mine dated her.
She's the one that had a baby with one of her students.
She was a teacher, and she had a baby with one of her students.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think they're together.
I was his coach.
Who was still a baby.
Yeah, oh, he was underage.
Like
and she was cute, wasn't she?
Yeah,
or isn't she?
She was cute. Yeah, she kind of is still, but she went to prison for it.
Right.
Well, maybe
for
we'll
being cute. I've never heard of that.
Well, Dave, just to fill
for
you in real quick,
rape.
To how serious it is. If he was in high school, let's say he's 16 or 17, I mean, yeah, still wrong with the teacher thing, but he was like only in like elementary school or something.
He was like a 12-year-old?
I think he's 12 or 13, but only in like 5th or 6th grade or something like that. So, yeah, it was really,
So we probably won't have her on because
pretty creepy.
It'd be a long, it'd be a lot of money to get her on. Well, it'd be
some
a lot of money.
Some psychological analysis.
What do you mean it would be a lot of money?
Isn't she in prison still?
Yeah.
No, she's out of prison now.
Oh, okay. Well, let's have her.
She's with the guy.
She's with her. Yeah, the guy that.
She's with a 12-year-old?
Well, he's now.
Does he have a curfew?
I think
he's
actually.
In his 20s now.
I think he's actually like 19 or 20 now.
Yeah. And they have a baby?
Yeah.
Oh, a couple. Yeah.
They had conjugal visits.
He's the father of a 15-year-old? That's crazy.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll talk more about that on our teacher
show.
Sorry,
Johnny, you're still here.
But today's our radio show. And so what we do is, and then I start, I figure out where I can get one of these guests. Maybe I'll start reaching out to, let's see, who's our show last week? What was our topic about? This is how scatterbrained
I
am.
No idea.
It was the film festival.
The film festival was that last week?
Yeah, that was last week.
Two weeks ago was the film festival. 2 weeks ago, but we talked.
Oh,
more
yeah,
about
the Gigolo guy.
Oh, we had superhero last week.
Superhero, yes, we had a superhero. You're right.
I'm sorry. I was just so excited
from Seattle.
So I do some Google searches. I see if I can figure out the most interesting guest to have on, and I'll,
goofiest.
I think
usually it's that. Yes,
I think what's we should go back to the Gigolo show. I mean, yeah. The romance show.
We
that
actually
was awesome.
Have a Gigolo show.
He was sort of cool.
Yeah,
that guy. Anyway,
that
he's
one.
Very respectful too.
Yeah, yeah.
I like
yeah.
the guy.
Vic
yeah.
And we're.
Vic Armani
I'm going to try to Vin Armani. Vin we're going to try to have him.
Yeah,
on
Trisha
again.
Went out with him.
So, but then I also,
for one night.
Research,
and there was overtime.
Research for the show,
and we also get these. I get
research.
Wow, I get these pitches on a regular basis through email. People who want to have their guests on our show.
So do I.
Yeah?
You do? What do you
I should forward them to you.
You should forward them to me.
Oh, what do you get?
I ignore about 95% of them.
Well, forward them to me because
I'll
ignore probably 90%. No, but I try to respond to them each individually and let them know respectively.
Oh, good.
If we can have them on or if it might be a while. Right now we're
in demand.
We're
a lot of people
weeks.
Want to be on the show, and it's,
yeah.
it's tough
and
to get them
And the scheduling is very tough. The scheduling yeah. is very tough because some people aren't available at certain times. And,
I tried to
know,
get on the show. You said, no, you're booked.
Yeah, we don't do
But yet here you are.
Oh yeah. yeah.
We don't do taped interviews, so we have to. Everything
live.
Is 3 hours. Everything is packed into 3 hours.
Because I like to say and live 1480 a.m.
It's
right?
a lot. Yeah, and
that's
it's a lot.
The only
of
reason
things.
We do it just because of that.
Yeah.
Right. It's.
And I usually get it right.
It's a lot of buildup. You've got You've
it's
got
like build
6 days of preparation, all for 1 3-hour block of time
yeah.
on every Saturday. But it all pays off. I select these songs. I go through the soundtracks of each of these movies. I go to IMDb and I find the songs. I figure out which ones are not the most popular songs, but which songs remind me of the movie the most.
Like you said, the trigger.
Yes,
the trigger triggers that entire experience.
Yeah, so when you hear that song, then you go back to Good Morning Vietnam.
That's right.
Or whatever, the movie is. And, so that's how it all comes together. And, I send you guys a list of what we're going to do, all the different 9 segments we have on, the different movies. I send you the trailers. Of course, I still have to watch all those movies each week. Sometimes we have 3 movies that are opening, like this week. Some weeks we have like 10 movies, which the next couple weeks there's a lot of movies coming out.
You watch a lot of movies.
Yes, I watch a lot of movies.
What's the most movies in one day have you watched, Mr.
In
Joseph
one day,
Erdo.
Probably 7.
I hit the record 3 during the festival, I think. Did we hit 3? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And that's
a lot of movies.
Yeah, that's and sometimes your brain
you know
just kind of...
popcorn you have to eat?
Well, you don't have to eat.
No, you have
popcorn.
To. No, it's a rule. It's a lot.
And the other big part of producing a radio show is you kind of have to keep everyone in line and all this ADD stuff that goes on here
and
in the studio.
Yeah, you do a good job.
I try. Sometimes I'm told that I sound a little bit nuts because you guys are talking and then I keep talking on the other topics.
And it's good.
Yeah.
But then I love it when you talk about your womanizing life.
Yeah, and then I try to have fun as well. So it's a lot of balancing. So just to let you know a little bit about behind the scenes of what I do.
Which is a lot.
When planning the show. Yeah. But, and then the personalities. Are we the same people off the air as we are on the air? That was the question that I posed
in
the beginning. You are.
I think Eric is.
I am absolutely real.
It's always Eric.
I think I am.
Eric Reinhardt.
Reinhardt.
No, Reiter. Reinhardt.
Just trying to get under my skin.
I think I'm pretty true to who I am.
Yeah.
So I'll make some jokes and like the whole Vin Armani thing, but, which isn't true for me, but it is my personality to joke about that.
Yeah, I think it is.
But I got.
I don't know what it means.
Over there.
But you do where?
Yeah, right.
Oh,
there.
Vin.
You baby. Yeah.
That's a song by Sonny and Cher.
I got you, baby.
Donnie and Marie. Okay, so
are you Dave? Are you the same?
I am.
No, you're not.
Okay, I'm not.
Dave and I would disagree because
Dave
on the
and
air,
Greg
and me.
What?
Greg
is
oh, no, you got us.
I was
someone
mini.
Else.
He's Greg.
People get us mixed up.
He's Tarzan. Who's Jane?
No, I was going to say, Dave, Greg and I disagree because we know that on the air, you say that you don't like movies like Movie 43.
Oh, yeah.
And then
and
off the air, you say, I laughed hysterically.
Yeah. No, only one scene with the chin. That looked weird.
He
and
liked
the nose
it.
Looks
he just says
funny.
It because he's concerned with some of the sponsors on our online network.
Yes, I think most of
the only
are,
reason.
Yeah, you are the same.
Yay!
The same,
no,
though.
But I am a business consultant, so I put this whole thing together, Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network, and that is quite an ordeal.
BreakRadioShow.com.
Yeah,
but
BreakRadioShow.com.
I will say he acts kind of ditzy, and he's
and it's not, really ditzy.
No, he's really smart.
Yeah,
he's a smart man.
It actually,
we're talking about Dave Isaac now, ladies.
No, it is actually funny with him. Well, he is clueless on a few things, but
it's
not an act.
No, but I agree with Trisha there. Is sometimes I'll hear him talking to someone, a client or something, but he'll he'll ask, he'll say something, but it's like, well, he knows the answer to that. Why is he saying it like that? And he knows after, you know, yeah. But I think it's just, but I do the same thing sometimes where, because I'm just, I, for whatever reason, even if I'm really confident in something, sometimes I just, you know.
It's because you're your father's son.
Yeah.
Apple doesn't fall far from tree.
The orange.
Of apple, I have from a delicious
orange.
Apple here I'll be enjoying.
But no, I think we all have, you know, in different contexts.
He's trying to be extra nice. We're the same way. I think we never want to hurt someone's feelings or something. So it's like if we know the answer to something or say it rather than coming out and trying to be like, you know, we're just more of like, Laid back
is a good word.
I think Greg is different off the air.
You think so?
Yeah, let's hear it.
I think you're more aggressive on air, and then when I'm talking to you, like you're like really polite and stuff off air. And stuff.
Yes,
that's a good. I would agree with that. I think he's more
pretty
assertive.
Shy.
Assertive. Not assertive. So much aggressive, but assertive.
Assertive. Yeah, well, I would agree. I think off the air now, more shy, especially around new people and stuff. I used to not be as much, though. I used to be more outgoing, but for whatever reason, a little
like
more.
When you were with your son the other day, you were like, you know, like chilling with your son.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, like that, yeah. So, that's how it is. And then on there, more raunchy.
Definitely more raunchy.
I mean, obviously, I joke around more, you know.
He pushes an envelope.
But so do you, Dave.
I do?
Yeah, right here in front of your wife.
I said you went out with Vin?
No.
Oh.
No, when you're
what?
When you're what? Looking at various actresses and
I never say that
about their assets.
I never talk about their assets. Really?
Yeah, you do.
No, I do.
I do.
Yeah, you hide your hand under the table.
It's a hand check.
Your iPad.
No, I never.
No,
knew
we
that.
Actually have to have those before the show starts.
No, but no, I'm just saying. You know, we all. It kind of. I think it's kind of like if you've been having a fun dinner with some of your good close friends. Mm-hmm. And
that's what the show's about.
Had a couple glasses of wine, so you're relaxed.
We're talking.
And it's like some things come out a little stronger. We have a good time. That's the way I feel about this show.
Yeah.
I feel like we're all family. We're hanging out with our listeners.
Absolutely.
Here's some behind the scenes stuff. Hey, Joseph, what song are we on?
Oh, number 8.
Yeah, see, you're displaying number 7.
Oh my God.
He was wrong.
Yeah, behind the scenes. Okay, so I have cards with numbers on them because, again, I choose all the music and they're all in order.
And he thinks I can't count.
Well, I know you can count, but there's so much that goes on, I don't want to.
I know, but see, I was already ahead of you. I was on number 8, but you were still displaying number 7.
Recognition patterns by Eric.
And there's also, a lot of people don't realize, because you sound like you're right here with us, Eric is in a different room.
Thank God.
And it's bulletproof, too.
Behind soundproof, bulletproof glass. Yeah.
And I don't blame him.
I can barely see him. Sometimes when I'm looking in there, it's just to see my reflection.
Yeah, I see your reflection.
Eric's probably thinking, what's Greg doing?
Yeah, I'm looking at me, putting makeup on.
That's why I keep the lighting down in here, because if I turn up the lighting in here, I think that's all you'd see is reflection.
Oh, I got you.
I don't know.
Well,
I don't know, maybe it would help.
And something that, you know, some people don't know, because sometimes we have guests in studio, they think that, you know, they don't realize that you have to have the mic right up to your mouth.
Yeah, you do. Almost like kissing it. I practice sometimes.
Otherwise, you sound like...
Well, those are unidirectional. You have to be right in front of them, you know?
They
have other mics where you could, like, talk.
There are some like that. Yeah.
Is that why you guys keep telling me
that's why sometimes...
And here's some more behind-the-scenes stuff.
But,
here's some more behind-the-scenes stuff.
Yeah.
I drink, like, 4 cups of coffee when I come in here in the morning.
Yes, you do.
And I am just zooming right now.
You are zooming.
I can see your eyes are, like, popping.
Zooming in.
I'm about to go through the ceiling.
And I think before Breakthrough Entertainment, I think that I was not quite as crazy off the air.
Now you've developed.
I think that my characters have kind of merged together. I used to be one person off the air and one person on the air.
And that's interesting, because on the air confidence,
yes,
sort of helps
it bleeds over into your daily life.
Yes. And it's interesting that, you know, we've got all these listeners. I used to have a harder time talking to one or two people, a small handful of people, yet I was okay in front of a microphone over how many people, you know. And now I'm okay with both. And I'm the same character. I go to these bar crawls and stuff like that, and I'm wild and crazy, and I'm singing just as I do here.
There? Really?
Yes.
You do.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, my turn?
Oh, no, I was going to say...
No, it's my turn.
Before, one last thing sort of with me, but with that, is that I used to be a little more outgoing off there, but the thing is that I've always been very comfortable. Like, when I went SCC, you know, it was for acting, and to be in acting class and perhaps to pursue that, and... I could go up in front of people, do great, but that's the thing. But not do great, but you know, I'm comfortable with the way to word it, or you know, being on a mic or like in here. But you know, like I said, in real life, you know, more laid back, more kind of shy. So you know, and with other actors, sometimes you'll hear a lot about that too. Where you know, and some we've talked to
like
recently,
Robert De Niro.
Yeah, exactly. And I've always found that interesting because I've always wondered, like, but I like, oh, okay, how could I kind of carry that over to real life? But never been able to really happen.
Well, you know what? Acting's kind of strange because when you're on a set or on a stage and you're with nothing but actors and people in that field, it's not like a big deal to act.
Right, and that could be one way, but not just with that, just being out in front of a crowd, get on stage for anything, it could do that, or, you know, it's comfortable and nothing. If I'm the only one kind of talking and everyone else watching, I could do it, I'm comfortable, but, yeah, for whatever reason, other scenarios, no problem with it, but just more laid back, you know, just kind of more of attentive, I listen... let the other people kind of do the talking, and I thought about that, especially when you brought that up.
My grandmother always said, "Beware of the quiet ones."
Uh oh,
I heard that.
Well, what's interesting is that when I think as radio personalities, you kind of have to be the same persona all the time. If you're meeting someone who hears you on the air, I mean, you have to. It's like public relations in a way, where you have to be on all the time. This is not a 8 hour a day job. This is a 24-hour,
it's an identity,
and especially when I'm dealing with the movie studios and the filmmakers and stuff like that. I have to be that same person all the time because if you just switch it on and off, they expect it, and you have to be nice. You know, even with the film columnist stuff, I have to be nice to the studios. It's all public relations. It's all networking the time.
Then what's the point of reviewing something if you have to be nice about it?
Well, I can.
He
can
be
not like the movie.
Nice.
Yes. I'm saying because if you make enemies, then you never get to have that guest on.
But there must be a very, very thin line between, you know.
Yes, and it's a lot of pressure.
Something and giving it a thumbs up.
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure
And Joseph can't be bought. So,
no, I will not.
Yeah, no.
Everybody has a price.
No, he has integrity. But, you know, my thing about radio, I think, is we say persona. But to be honest with you, if you're an actor and you're scripted or you have that persona that you almost take it off like a mask or off like a costume, in radio, I think it's just more of what you choose to magnify. Mm-hmm. But you really can't put on something that there's not a little bit of that inside you. There has to be that veracity. There has to be that truth in there because you can't just perform and be completely different than the person you are in real life. So I think it's just more what you choose to magnify.
Good point.
in your personality. So it's not really a completely separate persona to me.
Good point.
From what I see.
Good point. And
so what do we choose to magnify? You choose to magnify your babe magnet.
No, I don't. I wish I chose to.
Oh.
That's very small. No,
it's very small.
You've been getting in.
I choose to magnify the goofiness.
The goofiness.
Yes.
And what don't we choose to magnify? I can tell you what I don't magnify.
What?
Take a guess. Anyone?
No idea.
Your age?
Oh, thanks a lot. Greg magnifies that.
They all magnify
Actually, we should get you some Just for Men, though.
I know.
Get rid of that gray.
Yeah, you're right. But look at the long hair.
In a few days.
Is that what you do, Greg?
Being a former government tax auditor. I'm a CPA, business consultant.
You don't magnify that?
So I don't really magnify it except on my commercials.
Oh. But that's on the commercials?
That's why I think he kind of plays up the goofiness and some of the giddiness more and the fun because he's a serious, very smart man. But this is his fun side.
Yeah.
Very good point.
I love the fun side.
Well, and I'll leave with one point as we go into our...
We got to leave already?
Yeah, we got to go into our break. Before we do that, I just wanted to mention one last thing about this, is that after the 3 hours, I am completely exhausted.
You are?
So sometimes when I do these bar crawls on Saturday nights, I do not have the energy, but I try as hard as I possibly can.
Wow, that's interesting. It does take a lot out of you, but we put a lot... Well, I should say we put a lot into it. Yes. Right, Eric?
Oh, yeah.
That's what we do.
And this song, I have a philosophy about that. We'll talk about later. Go ahead.
And this song that's bringing us into the break is, again, from it's California Sun by the Rivieras, Good Morning Vietnam.
Oh.
Yeah. And
that's it? No singing?
Well, no, it's it.
Oh, you had a pass. There he is.
And I walk.
Oh, we already did our pass.
Oh, yeah.
And I
I thought I was singing earlier.
And boom, boom, boom.
After ba-bum, further ba-bum, review, yeah. Ba-bum, yeah Toronto ba-bum. Was saying we've already
ba-bum.
And this is 1480 AM. Just,
now I'm messing up the lyrics.
We'll be right back.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.
Joseph's song number 17 on the best of Breakthrough Entertainment. What is it?
The best
I've never
of
heard
Breakthrough
of it.
Entertainment.
Never
we'll
heard
have to
of
do
this.
That one. No, this song is actually called "Degenerated" by the Lone Rangers from Airheads.
Oh, okay.
Airheads.
Yeah, one of Adam Sandler's first.
Must have just Brandon released Fraser. It. I never heard of it.
No,
1993, I believe.
Yes, I believe so.
1993.
Saturday Night Live. A lot of guys from that were in it.
Yeah.
Adam Sandler, like I said, Adam Sandler, Brendan Fraser. Mm-hmm. What was it? Steve Buscemi.
I think Buscemi was in it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What one about the Letterman?
Barley.
Getting what's his name? Steve Letterman. Colbert.
Huh?
Yeah, dude, taking Letterman's over replacement. Yeah.
What do you think of that? Is he going to be the Steve Colbert we know or someone else?
I think he'll just play it like he does on his own show.
Yeah,
now.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was pretty clever because he's the only one that probably can compete with Jimmy, right, Fallon?
Probably, yeah. I like them both.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, no more comments. Your turn.
We're sleeping by that time, or at least I am.
Really?
Yeah. Me too.
I get up early, and I... One more tip about behind-the-scenes stuff.
When do you have time
I get up
to
early,
date?
And I go to sleep early.
What's
what about
early?
Dating time?
I get up at 5, and I go to sleep around 8 or 9.
How about dating? Dating. Yeah.
Dating?
Dating.
Who has time for that?
Well, yeah, you can't have a love life when you're going to bed at 8 o'clock at night.
Unless that's your love life.
Oh, yeah. No. But,
they go on afternoon dates.
Afternoon delight.
Hey, all those flight attendants that have those 5 a.m. show times, they're going to bed at 8 o'clock at night sometimes.
They are?
I'm not maybe not going to sleep, but
what?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you had a philosophy. I know. Before we get into Phoenix Film Festival, tell us a little bit about your philosophy.
Okay. Well, this gives everybody insight into how warped or weird my brain works. But the other day, when you were puffing yourself up to look like Superman, and I was like, "Whoa, he's got some arms in his chest." It's like, "Wow, I didn't know." And so that was in the back of my mind. And then you were talking about how you kind of produce the show and you do all this prep. And you really do have to kind of rein us all in. And it reminded me of a conductor, a music conductor. And when you go and you see that this conductor is with his arms, he's directing all of the orchestra. And if anybody's lagging behind, his arm is like, it's like he's like bringing them in, you know, and you see that work. I see you as the conductor of the show. I see you having to keep us and rein us in. And that's why you got such nice arms and shoulder and chest.
Thank you.
Because you're like whipping us into shape.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah.
Wow,
dragging
nice.
Us along.
Yeah. Nicely
conductor
said.
I like the conductor.
I like the conductor.
Analogy.
What instrument do I play?
The guitar. You told us.
Oh, okay. Right. I think Greg plays the organ.
Okay. And on that note, let's talk a little bit about the Phoenix Film Festival, the 2014 Phoenix Film Festival.
That's
just
usually
wrapped
a Greg
up.
Joke.
Yeah.
You guys switch personalities a lot.
They do.
Switched at birth.
Yeah. Do you want his apple instead?
No.
Yeah.
Apple's staying here.
And that's Joseph's version of Eve.
And that fell off the tree. Look how close it is.
I had apples. I wish I would have brought one.
Oh. Well, next time, bring enough for everyone.
More next
we'll
time.
Get half.
Yeah, I'll bring
you want half
more.
Of it?
I'm sorry.
No, I wouldn't eat his apple.
Oh.
Wow. See yes. where this goes? All right. Well, let's talk.
I didn't mean anything by that.
Why it's not on there.
Apple, Eric? I seriously just meant that I didn't want to take any of his apple from him when clearly that's all he has to eat.
Can really Greg. Have half of it. I had breakfast. I had a
well, how
nice
about on this side? There's a banana.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's under the table.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the Phoenix Film Festival before we go any further down that rabbit hole. So
too late.
Yeah. Way too late. So you know, let's talk.
Just to get it out of the rabbit hole.
It just wrapped up on Thursday night. Yeah. I attended. Every day I was at the Phoenix Film Festival, and
you did great.
Yeah, and every day I saw at least one movie. Several days I saw two movies, mm-hmm. and I know
even
you,
once three movies. Yeah, or I did.
But
it was,
you did.
It was yeah, way we, too crowded for me.
It, yeah. There was a lot of people
a lot
there.
Of people.
Yeah, very well attended, and I will say I don't know if I want to tell you which movies were these movies, but I think I saw three breakthroughs.
You did.
Really? I saw three movies that I would give breakthroughs to. One that very well might be on my best of the year list.
You're kidding. Yes. Should you tell us?
You did not see this movie.
Darn, really?
I'm not going to tell you what it is, though. So
I know.
Don't try
the
to guess.
Wasn't that okay? Wasn't the house that Jack built? I know that.
Yeah, I did not care for the house
I know,
that Jack
you told
built.
Me.
Unfortunately, I don't know how it won Best Picture as voted on by the critics, by the judges. I was one of the five judges, and it was very far down my list. I know that Paul Osborne was a big fan of it. I did not care for it. I'm sorry. But
well, and a lot of people really liked it. You know, that's one thing about entertainment mm-hmm. and movies is everybody has different
yeah.
tastes and what they like, what they don't like. And so that's why I never really listen to, mm-hmm. you know, if everybody says, oh, like for instance,
that's why
our
you never
superhero
listen to
show.
Joseph.
No, no, I do listen to him.
You never listen
but,
to him.
But if it looks interesting to me, I'm still going to go or uh-huh. whatever. But just last weekend, the superhero show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Captain America.
Captain America and the mm-hmm. Winter Soldier was panned by so many critics. Mm-hmm. They were saying it was. And then I come here and all three of you saw it and loved
it. Yeah, we liked it.
So, you know, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That, yeah, we take it into consideration what various critics will say or what ratings it gets, but everybody's individual what they like and don't like.
Yeah.
And not just that, but with Captain America, because I loved it. I mm-hmm. think I liked it the most out of the panel.
Yeah, I was close to it. Thumbs down.
But. And I really enjoyed it. The thing is, too, is a lot of people, especially if you go like the IMDb, and I know the ratings there don't always mean everything because mm-hmm. sometimes people just mess around and whatnot, especially when a movie first comes out, but still a very high rating at 8.3. And a lot of people I'll talk to that have seen it really enjoyed it as well, or at mm-hmm. least, you know, gave it a thumbs up type of situation. And so, yeah, a lot of times, because critics sometimes they may watch it one way versus just the enjoyableness of the film and just everything involved. But you see it so many times. And
yeah.
That's why it's a good thing to always still check out the movie, as you said,
yeah.
Trisha.
So maybe you will want to see The House That Jack Built, since that was highly regarded. One that we did stand firmly behind that won another award. The Cox Audience Award went to Life Inside Out.
Oh,
our
yes.
friends Jill DiGnetica and Tessa that. Bell and Maggie Baird. Of course, Maggie Baird wasn't at the festival.
My pick for the best movie.
Yeah. And, you know, and it was Tessa Bell was great. So was Jill DiGnetica. Congratulated them through email afterwards.
Tremendous.
They cannot wait to come
very
on the show again.
Very sweet people,
soon.
Too.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
They're very nice. And, of course, the mother and the son,
mm-hmm.
real mother-son of the movie,
yes.
with their phenomenal songs. This is a movie I think a must-see.
And, by the way, they were out at the in Florida for a film festival over there, and they picked up, I believe, Best Narrative Feature.
Oh,
while the other two were here, they were there. And so they
tremendous movie.
Yeah. And, of course, Best Documentary went to a movie that Eric saw.
Yeah.
Yes, and we
Joe
saw it,
show.
Yes, very interesting, and there was a lot of stuff in there I learned about Joe.
Yeah, so did I. I was actually very surprised.
Yeah,
I really like him now.
and that's Greg laughing, Sheriff Joe, if you're listening.
Hey.
The definition
G-R-E-G-S-A-A-C. And of course,
G-R-E-G.
Special achievement in acting went to Elias Koteas from Jake Squared.
Oh,
great movie.
He's very good actor.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Best ensemble went to Teddy Bears, a movie that I loved. I know
great acting.
Still didn't get a chance to see it.
See
I really will, though.
But very good acting, I will agree.
Yeah. And of course, a movie that I know that you saw, Dave, and Trisha as well, The Aryans, won for World Cinema Best Documentary and World Cinema Audience Award.
A definite must see.
No question.
For everyone.
And the writer.
It's about what the true Aryans, who the true Aryans are. But this woman is mixed race. Her grandmother was in the SS. Her grandfather was also involved with Nazi Germany.
Yeah.
It's a documentary, but it is entertaining. It has you on the edge of your seat in some places where she's waiting for the members of the KKK that are supposed to come and meet her.
Oh.
This woman is incredible. This film is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And it will change you. And I'm not a huge fan of documentaries, but this was just the whole thing. I love this movie.
Yeah.
I love this. And Mo did a phenomenal
job. She's a great film movie maker,
We'll have her on the show in a couple weeks.
She said she would come on.
Yeah, we'll invite her on the show.
But I am going to tell you the one thing that she said. You know, she starts out talking about her grandmother and her grandfather on her German side, on her mom's side, and then on her father's side from Ghana. But at the end of it, she said, somebody had asked in the question and answer, they said, so how did your grandmother feel about you? And she said, when she found out my mother was pregnant and going to have a black child, she wanted to kill herself. But when I came out and she held me, she said she was the best grandmother. She raised her. She loved her.
Yep.
That had her grandmother not shared this with her, she never would have known because you know, it just, her life changed. So it just, she's been touching and changing lives since the day
phenomenal.
She was born. And
nice lady.
Everybody, I can't say enough about the Aryans. Awesome,
Eric, Eric, they did not even require to see her birth certificate.
Wow. You mean Sheriff Joe wasn't after going to Hawaii looking for a birth certificate?
Will now after he sees this movie.
She made sure she had a copy of her grandparents' Aryan papers.
And of course, we also...
There are your papers?
We also spoke with Leah Thompson last week. And
very sweet
very
lady.
Good movie, The Trouble with the Truth.
And we saw her at the premiere. Yeah. And
I saw that picture you showed me of you and her.
Yeah, it's very nice. She's a sweet lady, isn't she?
And what you didn't see, because I had left my phone in the car, was that when she met Dave... because she'd been on the show, as soon as she knew who he was, she just grabbed him and gave him the biggest hug. And I was like, hey, well, okay, I'll let Leah Thompson hug my husband.
I wouldn't let go.
Wow.
She's probably going, okay, get off me.
Yeah.
No, she was so genuine and so nice.
Cool.
And her mother-in-law was there, the whole family. I thought it was great. Great people, very nice. Very
phenomenal movie.
Yeah.
Just love that movie.
And Mutual Friends was, again, one of my favorites at the festival. But, of course, in the showcase features, we can't say what we thought of these movies until they are released. But some movies that we saw or that I saw, Locke, starring Tom Hardy, we'll be talking about that in a few weeks. Dom Hemingway, we'll be talking about that in a few weeks. Joe, I believe we'll be talking about that next week. You saw that with me.
I saw that.
Starring Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
Also saw Boyhood, the new movie from Richard Linklater. We'll be talking about that in June or July.
Mm.
And also Words and Pictures, which we will be talking about in a few weeks. I just mentioned that earlier, starring Clive Owen and Juliette Binoche. And, of course, a movie that we'll be talking about in our next hour, Oculus, a horror movie that opens this weekend, including there were the producers and director of the movie were there.
Can't talk about those?
I can talk about Oculus, but the others I can't.
Was Oculus any good?
Well, we're going to talk about that in our next hour.
Oh!
We'll find out. Yes, so very exciting about that. And I spoke with a lot of directors, so we've got a lot of exclusive interview clips coming up on Breakthrough Entertainment throughout the next several months.
Nice.
But right now, bringing us into our break is another song from Airheads, We Want the Airwaves, sung by the Ramones.
The Ramones?
Yeah.
For their
80s?
Yeah.
You remember them?
Oh, yeah.
The Ramones. All right. I don't remember the Ramones. How about you, Greg?
I do.
You do? Do you remember the Ramones?
Yes.
How about the Victimones?
We want the
remember Victimones? He was a great singer.
Ramon
no
Bruno?
You're not singing this
Ramon's
one.
Ramon's got a taco
You got
to
pass. We're passing you.
Okay. Thank
like,
you.
Like, you know, passing the little thing. Okay. And this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX. We'll be right back.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.
I don't want to lose this good thing that I've got. If I do, I will surely lose a lot. Cause a love is better.
Like thunder, lightning.
Come on, all together now.
The way I love you is frightening. All right.
Oh, you could have said it with passion and emotion.
Well,
just like our next guest said,
we got to knock on wood
about what he does.
Talk to me. The movie is called Talk to Me.
Oh.
Knock on Wood by Eddie Floyd. Yeah, so
Eddie
good
Floyd,
movie starring
yeah.
Don Cheadle.
Eddie
right?
Floyd, yeah? Is that his
no,
last name?
No.
Yeah?
I'm just rushing
That's
through
That's the
it.
Beatles' last name. Yeah, yeah,
Don
yeah.
Cheadle. Good movie.
Oh, you
Talk
saw that.
Talk to me. Talk to me.
Does he cheat on his
Talk
wife,
Talk to
though?
Me, right, Eric?
What's that?
Talk to Me. You saw that movie?
Don yeah, Cheadle. Where he was a DJ?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Good movie. I don't remember the character's name or the call letters or anything like that.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah. But like you said, we've got a very special guest joining us right now. You might know him from Top Chef. He's a fan favorite. And right now, he's out at the Scottsdale Culinary Festival. And we have on Fabio Viviani. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. So it's a nice day for a culinary festival, isn't it?
It is. You know, it's getting, spring is at the door, and Phoenix is a good place to be. If you hate the cold, it's perfect here.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, just to let our listeners know, you will be, they can meet you out at the Scottsdale Culinary
today,
Festival.
Yes. Today at 12 o'clock, I'm going to be hanging out there with the folks at Colombo's. We're handing out a bunch of Italian salami, keep whipping up some recipe, doing some culinary demo. We're just bringing the sexy back to Phoenix here as far as Italian food and cold cuts.
Woohoo!
We're good.
And Phoenix needs sexy, I got to tell you.
It's a great city. You guys got a lot of good restaurant here, man.
I'm here.
Hey, but I never find a really good Italian restaurant in Phoenix.
Well, I know where you're going with that, but I can't answer because it's like to pick your favorite child. You know you have one, but you can't say it.
Well, I will say that Columbus Meats, I love the soppressata.
It's good stuff, man. It's done the original way, ancient recipe. Really, we're talking about some of the recipe they have. They're like older than my grandpa, and that's why we're teaming up well together. You know, it's a good product, and I use a lot of heritage products, a lot of stuff that come from my native hometown in my everyday dishes, my everyday recipe, and that's just what we want to do. We want to hang out with a bunch of cool folks and just eat some good food. Isn't this what this is all about?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. And that's my favorite food, Italian food. I got to tell you right now, I just love Italian food. But, Fabio, let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
My last residence before moving to Phoenix, Arizona, was Moore Park, California. And I understand.
Well, how do you?
Let's use the kidding word, okay?
No, we really live
true.
There.
It's true. Yeah. It's true.
No, I live there
Moore
in Moore Park,
California.
Yes.
I landed in the United States. And I decided to open my very first Italian restaurant in Moore Park, California. Now, I'm building my house out there. I just got recently engaged.
It's a beautiful place.
Congratulations, John.
Yeah. I bought a house out there on a hill in 1988. And
I got a place on the hill right now.
That's it's probably my old place.
No, he's building. So he tore your old place down, baby.
So
what I did, I took down your old place and I'm building mine on top of it.
I know. That's a beautiful city. And so when did you build your restaurant? It's Cafe Firenze?
Cafe Firenze, yes. I did open that in mid-2006.
Well, yes. I'm going to go down there and visit. Are you there very often or what?
it's I'm doing very well out there. You know, everybody's like, "What? What is Moore Park? Moore Park? What?"
Oh, it's a beautiful place.
And you know, it's a little hidden gem. I gotta say, there's 5,000 people, a lot of new people, new families, some good young money there. People coming get sick and tired of the lit, and they just stay in the outskirts. And it's really nice there, man. It's really nice.
So where's your restaurant? Where is it located out there?
Well, I have a restaurant in Moore Park on the Los Angeles Avenue. I have another one in North Hollywood. I have three in Chicago. Our group is managing three restaurants right now in Chicago. And I'm about to open Miami. So there is a lot of stuff to eat there.
Oh,
guys.
Good you for you. Make, so I want to go. I want to go when you're there in Moore Park. So we'll have to talk off there and make sure you're there when I fly down there.
I still don't believe it. But
no, really, really.
I like it.
Oh, it is so. Mike? It is so true. From the minute I met him, he says, "Oh, you're from Southern California," because I was in San Diego, and he goes, "Do you know where Moore Park is?" I mean,
so you know, we lived off Chestnut Ridge, and a little bit of a fun fact trivia is when we moved, who rented our house? The Motley Crue.
Yeah.
I know, and now it really sounds like it's fake, but it's true. They lived there for about a year after we moved.
Definitely have to tear that house down.
Yeah, then you had to know. You had to be there. If you know there, you had to be there. All right, fine.
Well, when are you going to open your restaurant in Scottsdale, Fabio?
What? Did you know somebody that want to put up some money? I can do it next week.
Dave, come on.
No, okay. I'm writing a check right now.
I love it.
Well, he just found his favorite Italian restaurant.
Oh, yeah. I need one out here.
Well, you guys got to make sure that you're going to make it out to... Can you make it out today at the festival?
Dave, you could probably try to make it out, right?
It's hard to say. We might be able to. You're going to be there for...
I'd love to meet you guys. Stop out there. I'm going to be at the Columbus, the meetup truck. We have a food truck.
Oh.
We have a food truck. We're hanging out salami and tasting a bunch of stuff.
How long will you be there? From 12 to what?
I'll be there probably till about 4 or 5 o'clock.
Oh.
Something like that.
I think it is possible because we're on the air till 2. We're on from 9 to 2 so here at 1480 AM. But, yeah, that would be great. I'd love to meet you.
Yeah, I'd love to. Shake your hand. I'll give you some salami, and then we'll have a sandwich together. How about that?
Oh, I like that. Yeah. Oh, I'm getting hungry already.
And our listeners might not have heard, Fabio said he was recently engaged. And how lucky is your future wife? You know, she's just marrying a guy who's, you know, just
a
top chef.
Oh, yeah, well, I got to say these, and I don't know if she's going to hear the interview, but I'm the lucky one in this case. She lucked out with me.
Well, you know, that is the makings of a perfect relationship where both of you feel like you're the lucky one because
of a perfect relationship is when you realize that one part is always right, the other part is the husband.
Well, that's a good point.
Is there a recipe that you wanted to talk about with us today? Did you I know at one point we were preparing something, but do you have a favorite food or anything that you wanted to share with us?
I love to. What do you guys are in the mood for?
Veal scallopini.
You know, veal scallopini is good if you put a slice of thin cut prosciutto on it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's not that great. Because veal is a great meat, but it doesn't taste very good. Meaning, it doesn't taste flavorful as much as a ribeye or a nice fatty pork chop. It's very lean. It's very mild. So there is a lot of hype around veal, but it's not one of my favorite cuts, actually. But so you compensate the flavor by putting a little prosciutto on it. Now, today we're going to demonstrate some pasta salad. We're going to do all kinds of things with cold cuts because, as you probably know, if you guys like Italian food, you know, America is very stuck on using cold cuts for appetizers, like a little sandwich, maybe some deli meat. But in Italy, we do tons of things with those. We chop them up and put them up in sauces. We do pasta with it. We complement entree with it. So it's just a whole culture that is missing as far as how to use them, and that's what I'm trying to bring back a little bit.
I love it.
Yeah, and I'm a little frustrated right now because you're talking about all this food. A couple months ago, we had on our pie show, and we had Miss Anita come in with all these pies. Why didn't we plan this a little bit better? You would have been in studio with us, and we could have sampled all this stuff right here.
Mm.
No kidding. Yeah, I know.
Because my mouth is watering.
I guess it's your fault. I was up for it.
And not only I live in Moore Park, I was in this bookstore the other day, and I saw this best-selling cookbook, Fabio's American Kitchen.
I know.
Tell us about that. I mean, really, what a coincidence that is.
So my former cookbook, Fabio Italian Kitchen, we did New York Times bestseller, and it's doing very well. And we are about to release another one in October called Fabio's American Home Kitchen.
Ooh,
which is
nice.
My favorite American recipe, because I travel a lot, about 300 days a year.
Oh.
And I eat everywhere. So American food is like my second best pick when Italian is not available. But again, as a chef, I got to make a little twist to it. I got to add my own little thing. And that's what I do. So we came up with a great recipe collection and some really good stories of my favorite food in America made with an Italian accent.
Ooh, I like it. Oh, now, nice. I do have to tell you that you are very kind not to have told my husband that scallopini is the cut of the meat, not the recipe.
Correct. Correct. And like piccata. Piccata is mean pounded. Piccata is not necessarily the recipe. Piccata is the way you cut mostly chicken in this case. But you can do a veal piccata. You can do a beef piccata. You can do a pork piccata. Piccata means pounded. And scallopini is actually, yes, you're right.
Greg is now salivating just hearing you say those words.
It sounds amazing.
And we want to invite everyone out to the Scottsdale Culinary Festival. Beginning at noon, they can see you. Top chef, fan favorite, Fabio Viviani, thank you so much for joining us here on Breakthrough Entertainment.
Thank you.
Thank you
very
so much.
Guys. I hope I'll see you later.
Me too.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Wow, what a cool dude.
Ciao.
I know. Now I am just so hungry. So I know how you feel.
I'm going out to Marper. I don't remember. Well, we already moved by then.
You better watch out. I'm taking that apple in just a second.
And I'll
this
take
song,
the banana.
Again, is from Talk to Me, Sweet Soul Music by Arthur Conley.
And, this is a good song, too.
Yeah. Just like James Brown.
Oh, come on. Oh, yeah. Do that. Come on. You
which
can do it.
Which release is from again?
Talk to Me.
Talk to Me.
Talk to Me. Who's
Talk
from
to
that?
Me.
Don Cheadle.
Oh, okay. Oh, very good.
Yeah, see, there you go. You still got your voice going on.
I don't know this song.
No, I said very good about Don Cheadle.
Come on, you can do it. You can do it. Come on.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
No, yeah. This is 1480 AM.
Yeah, yeah.
KPHS.
Yeah,
and we'll be right back.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.
If you've ever been afraid of anything, this song's for you. I know you're feeling me. If you ever want to do just something big, but then you stop, just couldn't handle it. If you take a chance, then it'll be alright. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. You know it's right.
Yeah, yeah. What was that?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Is that your impression of Debbie Ryan from Radio
Debbie
Rebel?
Ryan. I don't know Debbie Ryan.
Debbie Ryan. She's a Disney Channel star. A Wish Comes True Every Day is this song from
what
Radio Rebel. The movie.
Radio
it's
Rebel?
It's a Disney Channel
Disney.
Original movie.
Oh, sort of like that girl that turned weird. What was her name? She had the daddy that...
What?
The daddy that was famous.
Hannah Montana.
Yeah, Hannah Montana. Oh, what happened to her?
Well, the character, Hannah Montana, is still fun and enjoyable.
I know, but she turned a little different.
She
sticks
tried
her tongue.
Billy Ray Cyrus.
Yeah.
Cyrus?
Cyrus. I'm so sorry.
Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, so she
Wrecking
isn't
Ball.
The little girl that you would have brought to your mom anymore.
No.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
I think it was she rebelled against
Billy Ray.
She rebelled against the character that she's been playing on Disney. She didn't want to be put into that package. She wanted to exert her adulthood,
her obscenities.
She took it too far.
She wanted to emulate Madonna and Lady Gaga.
Well,
yeah.
But here's the thing: who else did that? Britney Spears. Britney Spears was on the Mickey Mouse.
Oh, and Lindsay Lohan.
And Lindsay Lohan did a lot of Disney, and then she goes off the wild edge. It's not. I just think sometimes they don't want to be pigeonholed.
Right. Yeah. And part of that is because, you know, the friends are around. When kids are in high school, obviously, they talk different, do different things. But when you're just strictly on Disney or Nickelodeon, you've got to, obviously, people think of you as your characters, like you're probably like that. But obviously, in real life, when they're in high school, things are going on. But, yeah, I think they really want to break out of that because, you know, their friends probably joke around with them. Oh, you, on your Disney show, you're like this. And so I think they really, you know, push
it wasn't
it
just
there.
A Disney show. I saw Billy Ray and Miley, whatever her name is. On Fox, Sean Hannity. That fair and balanced baloney.
Why would you even watch?
What were you doing on the Fox?
Yeah, network? Come on,
I was just spying on them. And there they were. And it's this dad and the little cute little girl and so much American values. And then what happened to her?
Yeah. Wrecking ball. Yeah.
She won't go back really, to Fox because Fox will say no.
I'll stick with Lizzie McGuire.
I think she's trying to put poor.
I love Lizzie McGuire.
Hillary Duff's a nice.
She's cute.
Hillary Duff.
But she's married or something now.
And her sister being involved in the show.
They're all pretty cool.
I really like
Hillary. Wait, I got to qualify. I don't really like Fox. Okay, there it goes.
Good. But
the Fox thing.
And Justin Timberlake was on the Mickey Mouse Club at the same time as Britney. Yeah. And look at him. Yeah. He turned out okay. Christina Aguilera was on there with him a little bit.
Well, I hear she kisses everyone. Yeah.
Now, sometimes some of it's the media, but yeah, obviously with Miley Cyrus and some of the others, they've really disgusting. But
I said I kissed a girl and I liked it.
Oh my god,
who did?
Oh my god,
I was just going with what you were talking about, baby.
All right, but anyway,
I forgot what I was going to say.
I don't know.
Okay,
we'll just go on.
I guess there are secrets we don't know about.
Radio Rebel is another one of those movies that's all about radio station set at a radio station about a radio personality.
And by the way, Joseph's looking like, what are we talking about now?
Well. Yeah,
the conductor
is really to throw up.
Yeah. Well, Radio Rebel, it's actually a decent original movie. Radio Rebel is actually okay. So
I don't know that one.
Right. Well, it's okay.
I watch MSNBC.
Okay.
Eric. MSNBC.
We know, Dave. We're having a hard time.
Calm down. Let's move on to our next movie that we're going to talk about.
Yes.
Eric wanted to know what I thought of it.
What is it?
A few moments ago. Oculus.
Oh, Oculus.
Oculus, yes.
There's an eye.
Yeah, it's an eye. It's a mirror. Well, let me tell you a little bit about it. It was playing at the Phoenix Film Festival, and that's where I saw it, as well as where I met the producers, the executive producer, another producer of the film, and the director. We've got a clip from them shortly, but let me tell you about the film itself. Karen Gillan plays a woman who tries to exonerate her brother, who was convicted of murder by proving that the crime was committed by a supernatural phenomenon. This supernatural phenomenon takes place all surrounding this mirror. It's this haunted mirror, kind of, and it kind of feels like Amityville Horror. The mirror makes you do things, makes you see things. The tagline for the movie is, "It sees, or you see what it wants you to see." Kind of creepy tagline,
right? Well,
it
sounds
like
a belief system.
And the movie is called Oculus. It came out yesterday. It's playing everywhere, nationwide. And it's one of those movies it's a horror movie, a supernatural thriller. Lower budget, kind of like Paranormal Activity. Not found footage, though, but it's produced by the same guy. The executive producer of the movie is Jason Blum, who also produced Paranormal Activity and The Purge and a lot of these horror movies.
Love The Purge.
Another Paranormal coming out too, right?
Yes,
Halloween
yes.
time.
There is another one of those. Yes. So, Dave, what do you think of Oculus, the trailer?
Well, I saw the trailer and this is my comments.
Yeah, I tried to get you to see it at the Phoenix Film Festival, by the way.
Here's my comments off the trailer. A horror film, need I say more? That's so it.
All right. All right. And Eric,
I don't like horror films.
You I know. Yeah, that's true.
I did like The Purge, but it wasn't a horror film.
Okay. Well, Eric, you seemed interested in Oculus. Is there any reason?
No, only because Kathleen wants to see it.
She likes horror movies?
She loves horror movies.
Oh, wow.
And this looks good to her?
She makes me watch these movies that I just can't stand.
Do you have nightmares then?
No.
Oh, you don't?
Not me.
He does.
I have nightmares, but not about movies.
Oh, about exes.
About other things.
Exes?
Yeah, that.
Alphabet, right?
About what we're going to say on the show. So, Oculus... I was looking forward to it because I love horror movies, right?
You are the horror king.
Yes.
Wait, I didn't say that right, did I? I was close, though.
You're close. This has got a lot of crisscrossing timelines in the movie and warring states of consciousness. Karen Gillan is kind of the grown up girl, but they also have her playing as a young girl, and I don't know, 10 years old or something like that. And then they also have the young girl's mother in the film as well. So there's two different sets of timelines, and then there's also warring states of consciousness. Like I said, some things are actually happening, some things are not happening. It's just the mirror making these people think one thing. So it's a very dizzying motion picture. Some people love that about it. I hated it about it.
That's what I imagined as you were describing this.
When I see a horror movie, I want to know what's going on. I want to see the blood. I want to see the guts. I want to see all this stuff happen.
It's not entertainment until you see the gore.
Very true. But this, there's very little gore. There's a few things.
But he does make a cameo, I heard.
Okay, very good. But this supernatural thriller borders on boredom for much of its runtime.
Oh, nicely said.
Thank you.
You're poetic.
I could not get a firm grasp.
That was a good alliteration.
It was a good alliteration.
I love me some alliteration.
Alliteration.
Alliterate, yeah. I'm off track. I could never get a firm grasp on what was real and what was merely a figment of the character's imagination. That is probably the point of this entire movie, especially after having spoken with the director and the producers. But it doesn't make for a very pleasant experience. Again, some critics love this movie. I know a lot of the people who are in the theater love the movie. I just could not get into it. Again, I was bored for a lot of the movie, and it was completely absent of any significant scares whatsoever. And here's the worst part. Karen Gillan. I'd never heard of her before. Apparently, she's on Doctor Who. A lot of people like, we gave away tickets to Doctor Who or something before, and pretty popular.
Shelley's a big fan of that.
So Karen Gillan is in Doctor Who. She's a horrible, horrible actress.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Really?
Yeah. And
do you know her?
No, I don't. I'm not saying she's a horrible person. I'm just saying she could not act. And you know, I thought for a while she was doing well because they wanted to make her seem like she might be crazy.
Maybe she played an actress that couldn't act.
Possibly, because she could not. I did not like her character. She just seemed
What's
insane.
Her name?
Karen Gillan.
Karen Gillan.
She's cute.
Oh, that's why she's in it.
Let's check this out, shall we?
I'm looking her up right now.
G-I-L-L-A-N. And she is cute, and you know, she's a redhead. But unfortunately, she's insane in this movie. I hated her character. And again, for a while, I thought maybe that was the point, that you were supposed to think maybe she's just off a rocker. But then even when we know that she's not crazy, she continues to be extremely annoying. My eyes were rolling in their sockets, keeping with our eye theme, right? Mm-hmm. I'm giving Oculus a very big thumbs down. If you love horror movies, do not go see Oculus. Wait for the next one, which very well might be The Purge Anarchy in a few months.
Mm-hmm. You're right. She's very cute. Look at this.
No, not that one.
Oh, not this one?
No, I prefer my women with hair.
How about this one?
Yeah, I saw
there you go.
Leave it to... Okay.
Yeah.
Leave it.
Yes. She's...
She knows my mind.
Yes.
I wasn't going to say it. She said it. But hey, this is a really good picture.
I can't tell if they're built for speed or comfort.
She is a very beautiful woman. She's got...
Not my type. Nope.
You don't like the flowing red hair?
No, not my type.
It's not the hair.
Oh. Yeah, it's not the hair.
I don't find her that attractive.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, she's not ugly or anything. She's just not.
So she
my
has
type.
Two strikes against her. She can't act, and she's not a looker.
And she's bald. Don't forget the third strike.
Yeah, but look bald. At this one. That's not bad.
I don't care for that one.
Okay.
Yeah, but again, she's just. I mean, she's insane in this movie. So I am giving the movie and her performance, especially, a thumbs down.
Oh, he likes
she's
that
got
one.
Legs. Yeah, well, and again, I got a chance to. All right, we're done with the fashion show. I got a chance to speak with executive producer Jason Blum, as well as the producer of the film Trevor Macy, and also the director of the film, the writer and director of the film, who is an alum of the Phoenix Film Festival. He brought his name is Mike Flanagan. A few years ago, his movie Absentia played at the Phoenix Film Festival.
Oh.
This movie is actually a short. Oculus was a short in that he expanded into a feature film.
He should have listened to you first.
I don't know. Well, again,
he would have left
some
it
people
as a
do
short.
Like it. And I haven't seen the short. He should have gone the opposite way.
Well,
here's
the
thing.
To a mini.
I really liked his previous film, Absentia. It won Best Horror Feature a few years ago at the Phoenix Film Festival.
I've seen that movie, but I must have been in Absentia because I don't remember it.
It's got that tunnel. You know,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the tunnel. It was okay. It wasn't wonderful, but it was good enough. It was all right.
Good enough for what?
Okay.
Yeah, it was like under a sidewalk tunnel, right?
Yeah,
yeah. I remember that.
And apparently he scares his kid by putting his kid under the tunnel. Yeah, people disappear.
A good parenting film.
People go in the tunnel and then they disappear. And he's scared his kid with a mirror in this movie as well. He talked about the
where do they go at the, if they disappear?
During the Q&A. That's part of the movie. You have to see the movie. And I would recommend renting Absentia, but don't go see Oculus. But again, I got a chance to speak with all three of them. I believe that you could see their photo possibly on our Facebook site, breakradioshow.com. Click on the big F in the upper right-hand corner. Really nice guys. And again, Jason produces a lot of the horror movies. He picked this movie up, I believe, at the Tribeca Film Festival or one of the film festivals. He was not involved in this movie until it was all said and done. It was, you know, it was all finished, and then that's when he picked it up and said, I need to release this under my Blumhouse Productions label. And so good for him. He's got a good eye for horror, but unfortunately I am not a fan of the Paranormal Activity franchise, and if this becomes a franchise, I will be very disappointed. But again, I got a chance to speak with them, so let's hear a little bit about what they have to say about what I'm sure that Eric is glad to hear. It is not a found footage movie. And why is that? Let's hear it from the horse's mouth.
One of the things that we bumped into a lot when people would look at the short and want to do the feature was they would come at it and say, this clearly should be a found footage movie, which was never the way we wanted to go, because one of the things about found footage is you absolutely have to believe that what you're seeing in the frame is objective reality. Like, the whole conceit of that style of filmmaking relies on that. Okay. And for this, it's all about distorting reality and never really knowing what's real or not. So found footage was just the absolute wrong fit for this kind of story. And it took a very long time and a lot of very frustrating meetings to kind of get past that knee-jerk reaction and find people that wanted to do it differently.
Part of the purpose of this movie was to compromise the objectivity of both the protagonists and, if we've done our jobs right, the audience. Mm-hmm. And so being able to have Mike select what he was shooting and editing in order to do that was kind of essential. And you have more options when you don't have found footage.
If someone's dying or hurt, anything you want to see in a movie, like any dramatic action, you're not. That's the last time you're holding a camera, right? If someone is in jeopardy and you're in the room, you're not. You're very not sympathetic if you're going like this, right? So you got to fit. It's very hard to put drama into found footage.
And they make a good point that number one, you have to decide. You know, why is this person continuing to hold this camera this entire time? And number two, if someone is dying, put the camera down
right.
and help them.
And you're still filming it, right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, not only that, it's the shakiness of the camera where you can't really see what's going on, and that's supposed to be frightening, I guess, but it's not to me. It's just annoying. It gives me a headache.
Well, I like the unknown. I like the unknown, so I see where that's coming from.
But I will say that probably if this was too all over the place and shaky, maybe that's why people just automatically said, oh, this should be found footage, because you tend to see that.
Well, the reason that they thought it should be found footage is because in the short, it's three cameras in a room and this guy talking, you know, in front of this mirror. He's trying to make this mirror do its spooky thing, and he wants to capture it on these three cameras. So when people saw the short, they said, okay, well, it's got cameras in the movie, so we've got to use these cameras. And in a way, I wish that they had explored that, and I would like to have seen how they did that, because as you see in the movie, the cameras pick up what actually happens, and that is much more interesting and much more frightening than the stuff that actually goes on in the character's mind.
Well, also he mentions that it has to be believable to be found footage movie. Well, the problem is there's so many of those that it's no longer
found footage.
You can't make it real.
Well, just like we talked about Alien Abduction last week, and I mean that was basically Paranormal Activity or whatever, just recycled with aliens instead.
Right, and there's just too many of them. Maybe the first one was okay, but then they all started. They were flooding the theaters with these movies, and it's like I've had enough.
And that's why the Blair Witch Project, like you said, Eric, like the first one is that everyone was just wow, you know, even if. you weren't a big fan of the movie just because it was different. It was
very different.
Very interesting.
Right. It was unique at the time. Exactly. Now they're not unique anymore.
Well, that's the thing. They need to come up with that. I like VHS 2. I don't like VHS, the original VHS, but the horror movie where they have a few different found footage style movies in there.
You didn't like that flying lady?
No, I did not like that. That was goofy. But you know what I'm talking about? How at least they've got the gimmicks in those. They found unique ways with webcams, Skype, and stuff
like
that.
Right. It was like different stories.
So they need to do more of that instead of just doing the same old documentary
goofy. It was more
guy
of a Tales from
camera.
The Crypt type thing.
Yeah, yeah. And so I would like more of that, more gimmicky use of the cameras. There was a found footage movie at the Phoenix Film Festival. It was directed by Ty West. I did not get a chance to see it, but I'm sure that we will be reviewing it in about a month. The movie is called The Sacrament. It's all about the a guy that goes to
church.
They go to this cultish place with a church on it, and the people apparently are not allowed to leave, and they're asking this documentary crew for help, and they're making it sound like, well, everyone is very happy here, we feed them, we clothe them, and they're not happy there, and there's guards with guns that are preventing anyone from leaving, and there's this crazy pastor guy who is making sure that everyone follows the rules, and he's very, very evil. Wow. So that sounds a little more interesting.
That sounds good.
Yeah, and that's all found footage. But again, but it's a documentary crew. So at least in the beginning, they've got a reason for doing it. But eventually, if
they
these
get
things are
stuck
happening,
in there, right?
Yes, they get stuck in there. And why are they continuing to film this if they are all in danger? So we'll see how that goes. But in the meantime,
yeah, like Cloverfield. Why was the guy still filming through all that?
I'm not sure.
He could have helped. And we've talked about quite a bit, like with Paramount maybe doing the new Friday the 13th as found footage and even taking Jason out. I mean, you can't do that. You got to.
I don't know.
Call Paramount.
Yeah. Yes. And so in the meantime, let's go into our break. Another song from Radio Rebel, again sung by Debbie Ryan. We Got the Beat.
I like that one. You've heard this? Here
well,
we go now.
Original. The Go-Go's.
Originally, I got the beat.
Yeah, it's just
all the Go-Go's.
We made it.
Got the beat.
Yeah, we got the beat.
Oh, nicely done.
Where's your boom?
Boom. Boom.
Eric, mute them all.
Boom. No, here we go. Here we go.
And this is 1480 AM.
No, this is
KPHX.
And I guess we'll be right back.
Woo!
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.
And welcome back to Breakthrough Entertainment. Greg, Joseph, Trisha, and Dave is somewhere. He went out on assignment. We'll see if he returns at all.
In absentia.
Absolutely. Maybe. But before our next guest is on, Joseph, what song let us in?
Liquid Jesus is singing us into this segment. The song is called Stand. The movie that it is from is Pump Up the Volume, starring Pierce Brosnan.
Oh, okay.
Right? Pierce Brosnan?
Yeah. I don't think I've seen it. I was singing
it. I haven't seen it either. Doing my research for the, of course, this is Breakthrough Entertainment's radio show, and we are counting down all the different movies that are about radio stations, radio personalities, in honor of the release of Alan Partridge. I gave it a big thumbs up. Go see Alan Partridge, came out yesterday in theaters and I believe on video on demand as well.
Nice. Oh, where did I go?
I don't know.
Here I am.
Yes.
Here I am.
See what happens when you leave the room, Dave?
Oh, yeah. I become silent. Like Silent Night.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Did you see The Dark Knight,
I was
going to
say, in Greg's dreams.
The Dark Knight.
Oh.
Yes. Wow.
What?
Yeah. Did you ever see Pump Up the Volume?
What's it about?
Pierce Brosnan, a radio station.
No.
I think I did if Christian Slater was in it as well.
He's good.
I think Christian Slater might be.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, that was like an old movie.
Yeah, back from 90s.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't born yet. I just wasn't born.
Well, I'm always accused of keeping it too current. But
it's been a while since I've seen it. I had no idea Pierce Brosnan was even in it.
But
Christian Slater was
I liked him in Mamma Mia.
Yeah. We'll have to do a Mamma Mia special.
Oh, I think we should fly out to New York and see the play.
Horrible. Now, wait a minute here.
Yes.
We do Mamma Mia, Mamma Mia, Mamma Mia,
Fabio
Italian food. Yeah. Yeah. Italian food.
We'll have, we have an open house here. Maybe we invite an audience down.
Yes.
What if we invite an audience? Eric, can we do that? Invite an audience with Italian food here?
Sure. I don't know how the station manager would like that.
Oh, so we should ask first. Okay.
I would, well, yes.
Okay.
Speaking of inviting people.
Go ask him right now.
All right.
And speaking of inviting people down,
yes.
Last year we invited these two very special guests into the studio, and we are honored to have them back to talk more about their film, which it became available on video on demand just a few days ago. The movie is called Putzel. It won Best Picture.
Great movie.
Last year at the Phoenix Film Festival, and we have on director Jason Chet and producer-actress Allegra Cohen. Thank you so much for joining us once again on Breakthrough Entertainment.
Hey, guys. Great to be with you. Thanks for having us.
You're more than
welcome.
Thanks
for having us. Hi.
Hi. Boy, it's been a whole year. Can you believe it?
I cannot believe it's been a year. I was following all the social media chatter about the festival and, you know, having fond memories of winning last year and being there with you guys. And, what a great fest.
It was so nice meeting both of you. And what a great movie you had. And congratulations once again for winning
Best Picture. Thank you. Thanks. We appreciate
it.
We're
super
excited.
Oh, hey, Allegra, hey.
Yeah, she's okay.
Do you guys know each other?
Oh, boy, do we know each other. Good.
Well, what I thought was interesting... At the Phoenix Film Festival, the very first day when Dave walked up to the Phoenix Film Festival, he looked at me, and he's looking around. He says, is Allegra going to be here? Is Allegra going to be here?
It's true. No, it's
very hot. And then we walked right into each other.
That's right. We saw each other at that pavilion, the party pavilion.
Right. I remember that, too.
Yeah.
You weren't looking for me, Dave. You were looking for us.
No, I was looking for both, but I did have an eye out for Allegra. Okay.
Well, let me tell our listeners a little bit about the film in case they haven't heard of it. They should now. It's called Putzel. Jack Carpenter plays a young man whose aspiration of taking over his uncle's smoked fish emporium are disrupted by the arrival of a young woman, played by Melanie Lynskey, with whom said uncle, played by John Pankow, has an extramarital affair. After years of being undermined by his family and friends, he finally starts to realize his true potential simply by finding his circumscribed life thrown off kilter. So, again, we mentioned that you guys won Best Picture, and so what has the past year been like? I know that you picked up a couple other awards along the way, right?
Yeah, we've been really lucky. We've won a bunch of awards. I think, you know, the Best Picture at Phoenix was a big deal, and a lot of people noted that, and we've been to a few festivals. We were still relatively early in the festival run, and after winning Best Picture at Phoenix, you know, the invitations just started flowing, and I think up till now we've been in almost 50 film festivals around the world. And,
that's right, and we're going to continue to play at more film festivals and Jewish film festivals throughout the year. And now we just had our big release on iTunes.
Yes, the big release on the video on demand around the world.
Exciting, exciting. And so how well is it doing so far?
Well, it's doing well. I mean, we released on Tuesday, and the movie's on iTunes and Google Play and Amazon Instant Video and, you know, YouTube and PlayStation and Xbox and all those other things. It's also available around the world in every English-speaking territory. And it's doing great. Like, we cracked the top 100 on iTunes. It's really great for, a little independent movie. And
I think, Jason, we have to mention which movies we just beat on the romance genre.
Yes, we are. My lifelong goal of crushing The Notebook has been accomplished.
Wow.
We passed The Notebook. That's a major.
You passed The Notebook? Really?
We passed The
and
Notebook.
Crazy Stupid Love.
And Crazy Stupid Love. You guys got to root for us, and we're trying to catch Hunger Games right now. We started a hashtag called Crush Katniss.
Oh, please do.
We're trying to get our Putzel Nation on social media, on Facebook and Twitter, to use the Crush Katniss hashtag. So maybe you guys can help us with that and keep putting that word out.
Oh, yeah.
We want to catch Hunger Games on the iTunes chart. That's our goal. And hopefully we can do it. I mean, we really depend on things like this and word of mouth. We don't have the marketing budget to compete with the big movies. So you guys having us on and talking up the film is such a huge boon, and we really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, you know, absolutely, because you know it's a great film, and in fact, I joked a couple of weeks ago when we had on the guests from one of our favorite films from this year, Teddy Bears, that I was really hoping that Melanie Lynskey was their lucky charm since she was in your film and it won Best Picture. I really wanted Teddy Bears to win Best Picture. Unfortunately, it didn't. You know, but she's just a great actress.
That's a great film too. She is incredible, and she's also just a great person, and so unbelievably supportive, and she loves Hustle, and she's been at a bunch of fests, and we've had a great time.
Oh. We're so lucky to have Melanie and Jack Carpenter and Susie Essman from Your Enthusiasm and John Penka. We really have the best cast.
You guys are going to have to, Susie Essman took me on a tour of the Upper West Side a couple weeks ago, and we put it up online, and USA Today picked it up this week, and they've been spreading it around. You guys should get that on your website or whatever, wherever you can put it, because it's a really fun little 5-minute tour of the Upper West Side that she did. She's hilarious as always.
Nice. Yes, she is very hilarious. And so who picked you up? And when did that come about? And were you how excited were you when you heard the news?
We were really excited. We talked to a bunch of people, and we ended up because we are still doing festivals, and we're doing the Jewish Film Festival circuit, and we're working with Isaac Zablocki in Manhattan about spreading the word the film through that world. We ended up going with a company called Cinema, which is a great, they were one of the early players in the digital landscape. They're an awesome company who really knows how to push the film and work the video on demand world, and they're very good with marketing and grassroots marketing. So we decided to go with them so that we could continue doing the actual events on our own and the Jewish festivals on our own. And they've been a great partner leading up to the launch, and the launch this week has been great. And you know, the word of mouth in the movie is usually good, and we're slowly spreading that, and hopefully we'll be able to sustain it for months. That's our goal and our hope.
And what, you know, this is such a great movie. Do you have, what other things are coming up for both of you? Do you have other movies that either you're writing, Jason and Allegra, that you're going to act or produce in?
I'm working on a bunch of new projects, and nothing that I think is going to be able to shoot this year, but it's in various stages of development, scripting to outlining, and a couple things are a little bit farther along, and, you know, if we're lucky, we'll get to shoot this year, but more likely next year, and I'm hoping, you know, get to work with Allegra again on some of them.
How about you, Allegra? What's going on in your life?
Well, I'm also looking forward to working with Jay again, and I am also in development for a couple different projects, still working as an actress in TV voiceovers and commercials, and I also happen to be the face of a curly hair salon in the West Village in Manhattan called the Alex Anthony Salon, and that's what's going on right now.
You know, but I imagine, I mean, look at, this is a year later, and it took you, Jason, I don't know how long it took to write this, and then to, you know, get the screenplay and then direct it, casting. I mean, there's a whole sequence of events that goes on, and now you're at the tail end of it. How long does it take to complete the cycle of a movie like this from the concept to the distribution?
From concept to now, it's been about 8 years.
8 years?
It's been 8 years. And Rick Moore, who wrote the script, and Rick and I came up with the idea together, and we worked on it for a few years before Allegra came on board, and she's been on board for probably 4 or 5 years alone, right, Allegra?
It's been about 5 years.
Rick and I had the idea and developed it, and Rick wrote a great script, and then you got to get it made, you got to shoot it, you got to finish it. And then we've been on the festival circuit for 18 months. Like, that's a year and a half alone. So it does take a while. It's quite a journey, and anybody that's taken a feature from festivals and been lucky like we have to do relatively well, they know it's a year and a half, 2 year process, and it keeps going.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things I loved last year is you had What's a Putzel buttons for everyone.
Right. That's a very popular item.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell our listeners, or do you not want to share what is a putzel?
It's sort of answered in the movie, you guys remember, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. A putzel, you know, a putzel is a little putz. And I will not explain what a putz is on the air, but you can go Google that.
We'll encourage everyone to find out what's a putzel.
Yes.
If you download the movie on iTunes, follow us on Facebook, Hustle Movie on Twitter and you know, start as many people as we can to get that hashtag out there. Continue it on What's a Puzzle.
That's right.
And
that's right.
And make sure to if you see the movie,
you'll have the best definition of what's a puzzle you can possibly get.
Very good.
It's what's going to crush Katniss.
Crush Katniss.
What's the exactly. What's a puzzle? What's gonna
puzzle? What's a puzzle? Crush Katniss. What's a puzzle? Crush Katniss.
Love it.
Absolutely. And yeah, we love the film. And so one thing that we were talking during the break, Dave was asking about, you know, VOD versus theatrical. So
right.
Is it financially? I mean, I don't know the right way of asking this, but do you do well with VOD versus theatrical?
We do. I mean, you have a ton of.
You know, you're breaking up quite a bit. I don't know if it's a speakerphone or.
It's not. Let me see if I can.
Oh, there. That's much clearer.
Okay, I will be as careful as possible.
We just want to make sure we get to hear everything you say.
Of course. Thank you. The theatrical is great, and you can do very well if you have the marketing budget to support it. And a lot of indies can find a little bit of that budget, and we just made a calculated, rational decision to not dump a lot of money into theatrical and to try to push it on video on demand and keep doing these special events. So, you know, there's no right or wrong way to do it. It's just a different taste for every film, and particularly for every independent film when they're going into release.
Oh, okay. Very good.
Yeah, and we actually, you know, we had our Chicago premiere, and that was part of our own indie theatrical release. And
correct.
And then at several screenings in Manhattan. And it really seems like getting everyone to go online and get the movie on all of those different platforms has really, really been super helpful to get the word out there.
Excellent, excellent. And, you know, so again, we want to urge everyone to check out Puzzle on Video On Demand. And has there been any deal for DVD yet, or is that still forthcoming?
There is. We do actually have an exclusive DVD deal through Amazon. You can go and order the DVD right now. If you don't like iTunes or any of those things, go to Amazon, and you can look up Puzzle on Amazon, and it's prime shipping, and you can order it for a really good low price, and it'll be to your door 2 days later.
Wonderful.
Wow. Awesome.
And you could have some different Passover and Easter screenings. It'll be lovely.
Yes. It's a great Passover movie.
Yes, and it's definitely a movie that you will want to watch, you know, more than once. One of those repeated viewing type movies. So check out Puzzle. It is one of several of our favorite films from last year. And again, we were so honored to have on director Jason Chitt and producer actress Allegra Cohen. We're both big fans. We would love to have you on again very soon. Tell us how everything is doing.
Definitely, we'll keep you posted and love to come back soon.
Thank you so much.
We would love to come back. Great to hear your voices.
Thank
you.
Guys,
as well.
Thank you.
Be well, guys. Thank you. Take care.
Wow. Great people.
Yes.
I really enjoyed them last year. Remember, they came in and really very nice. And truly, a well-deserved best movie from last year.
And Allegra gave very good hugs.
She did.
Yes. Oh, that's all we're going to... Oh, you turned away like, okay, it's enough about
that. No, really, it was
you let
normal
the cat hug out of the bag, Joseph.
It was
no, she
a,
did.
It was
did
a regular hug.
She, it was really neat last year, because even... I will.
It was a Leah Thompson hug. Just very...
That was a bear hug, but it was a beautiful
bear
hug.
Yeah, it was very beautiful,
even,
lovely.
And I, you know what? I love hugs. So
yeah,
that's okay.
Yeah, well, hugs are okay.
Even Paul Osborne gives really good hugs.
Because, I didn't hug him.
Well, you should have, because at the awards ceremony last year, when they won, Osborne won, and when Puzzle won, they both ran up to me and gave me the biggest hug. So, you know.
That's how Jill and Tess did it when they won.
Yes.
That was something.
Yes.
They are so nice.
You know,
we meet so many nice people.
That's the thing. You know, these people
incredible
are so talented, and yet they're so
phenomenal,
down to earth, and such wonderful
we
people.
We like them.
I love this.
Yeah.
I love it.
It is fun, fun, fun.
So cannot wait for next year's Phoenix Film Festival. But in the meantime,
I want to go to other festivals too.
Yeah.
Are there others?
Yes, of course there
are. I know.
Are
they were saying that.
You know, I really like how, I mean, last year I was on the fringe listening to you guys talking about the festival and interviewing these people, you know, with the movies. And I wanted to see Puzzle, but I couldn't see it. And so then I came to the film festival this year,
nice,
had a wonderful time, met these people, and I'm all excited. And now that's carrying over. Now these movies are coming out on video on demand from last year that I heard about, and I can't wait. I'm so excited.
We're excited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and of course, we will be there next year, and we'll be plenty of other places. So just stay tuned to Breakthrough Entertainment. And
for more information,
1480.
The Journeys of Joseph Erdo.
Okay, that's a different story. But in the meantime, let's take a break with Chagall Guevara seeing us into that break.
Chagall Taylor, Rivera, the rebel from Cuba?
It sounds like it. Taylor the Twister from Pump Up the Volume.
Easy for you
that.
To say.
Yeah.
Taylor the Twister.
Taylor the Twister.
I just want to know what a putzel is. Oh, I did look it up.
Yes.
And they said a putzel is a little putz.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
Pun intended.
Look it up.
Yes. And
Google.
Sing this song. There's no words to this anyway. And this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX. We'll be right back.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.
From this valley, they say you are going. I will miss your bright eyes and sweet smile. For they say you are taking the sunshine that brightens our pathway a while. Come and sit by my side if you love me. Do not hasten to bid me adieu. But remember the Red River Valley and the girl
Boom, boom, boom. Red River Valley.
I'll just think of the valley if you leave.
Yes, you will.
Oh, how sad it would be.
It would be very sad.
And to think of the fond heart you're breaking.
Yes, it would be.
And how very much you mean to me.
Oh, I know I do.
That's a different song.
All right. Well, of course, this is from Prairie Home Companion, the movie Red River Valley, Garrison Keillor and Geraldine Steele.
Geraldine Steele?
Yeah.
Wow. What did she steal?
I don't know. What? you got someone who thought it was funny out there.
Who said it was funny?
Your wife.
Oh, she liked
funny.
It. Yeah. All right. No wonder I pay her. Okay. And this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yes.
Back to you,
well,
Joseph Erdo.
I want to say, so you, Eric.
Red River Valley.
Eric, you didn't care for a Prairie Home Companion, the movie?
No, you know, and I like listening to the radio show, but I just, yeah.
You like to listen to Breakthrough Entertainment?
I do.
Oh.
As a matter of fact, when the show's over, I'm going to go listen to it four more times.
Well, I love the movie. Lindsay Lohan, John C. Reilly, Woody Harrelson.
Woody Harrelson.
What a great actor he is.
And I love the soundtrack. One of my favorite soundtracks.
I've never heard of
time,
the movie, actually.
How about Red River Valley? Yeah. Nice song from the old days.
Isn't that what the name of the movie was?
Oh,
no,
it was?
No,
oh,
Prairie Home Companion.
They sound the same.
No, we were singing Red River Valley.
By the way, before I forget, this segment on Breakthrough Entertainment is brought to you by Powder Milk Biscuits. Powder Milk Biscuits, heavens, they're tasty and expeditious. They're made from whole wheat to give shy persons the strength to get up and do what needs to be done.
What about the ketchup board?
I'm trying to catch up, but I don't. I'm behind here.
This segment is also brought to you by Bebop or Rebop Rhubarb Pie and Rhubarb Pie Filling. One little thing can revive a guy, and that is a piece of a rhubarb pie. Serve it up nice and hot. Maybe things aren't as bad as you thought.
No, things are.
Davey's little baby loves rhubarb, bebop, rhubarb, rhubarb pie.
Dun 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 dun.
I want to say that next week I'm very excited.
Yeah.
It is Breakthrough Entertainment's. Wait for this.
Yeah.
Breakthrough Entertainment's Easter special.
Easter special.
Woo! Easter special. We have on our very favorite fashion expert.
Are we going to have an Easter egg hunt?
We will. We actually will. Kathleen and I
will get here early and we'll hide
eggs.
We'll
hide the eggs.
Yes. Can you hide some scrambled eggs over easy? I like that with
Joseph
toast.
Joseph got over that.
Yeah, you should.
Hey, I went to the Waffle House.
That's great.
Dave's random enlightenment.
First time, actually.
But yeah, no, speaking of Easter egg hunts, I wanted to have an ultimate Easter egg hunt. You know how I do ultimate spoons. I was going to have an ultimate Easter egg hunt.
Here at the station?
But, no, not here at the station, at the park. But then it was just like all the planning, and I just, the Phoenix Darn Film it. Festival kind of messed all that up. Otherwise, I would have planned the ultimate Easter egg hunt.
So what are we doing next week?
Next week, we've got a lot of really cool things. Yeah, Easter, it's our Easter special. We've got on Luke Reichle, our very favorite fashion expert. Remember Secrets of the Red Carpet? And also, he's a costume designer on Castle.
I think he's been on before.
He's been on before, yes. Yeah. That's why I'm saying he's our very favorite fashion expert. And he's going to tell us all about Easter bonnets.
Wow. Yay. I'm not here next week.
I am.
Okay.
You're next week.
I am.
Yeah. So he's going to tell us about Easter bonnets and other fashionable hats.
Oh, I get it. So hats you wear to church and stuff.
Well, not just church, but any, you know.
The parties.
What he designs for TV shows and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The importance of wearing hats. You know, he told us on our How I Met Your Mother special about suits, and now he's going to tell us about hats.
Even those big hats at the Kentucky Derby.
I was going to say, it's coming up.
The reason that I thought of this segment is because at the Phoenix Film Festival, I saw a lady with a big fashionable hat,
and there's alcohol in between.
No, it was a big pink hat with ribbons on it and everything.
Oh, with
and
two beer cans on top and hoses running down.
And of course, we will also. I'm working on right now trying to get someone from Hickman's Eggs to come on and tell us a little bit about behind the scenes of what Easter eggs, that tradition.
Oh, Hickman's Eggs! I thought it had something to do with fertilization.
No, that is a different site. That's a
you know,
different
like
show.
What is it called?
That's the biology show.
Yeah, that's the biology.
Yeah, that one.
That's the conception show.
So
so then there's also where we will have on a real life Willy Wonka.
Life. Oh, I love that movie.
A candy maker. A real life candy man.
Does he dress like that?
I don't know. We will have
to ask. I bet one of the songs is going to be.
What's his name?
The candy song.
I can't announce his name yet, Greg, because I'm trying to. I actually have a few different candy people.
Candy.
In the running for this. Hmm. You know, tried to get someone from Peeps on the show. They were going to tell us how they make those marshmallow Peeps.
Is it a secret?
There's a but the thing
they
is
they last for years.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, like
but
Twinkies.
The thing is
they're disgusting.
No, they're not. They're wonderful. They've got all these different flavors now.
Yeah.
And they offered us samples and everything.
That's a trip to the dentist.
Joseph, just because
they're
a different color doesn't mean they have different flavors.
They do have different. They have bubblegum flavor now.
Oh,
yeah. Bubblegum. It's awful.
Disgusting.
Right. Well, anyway.
Makes my teeth hurt.
Hey, now.
Well,
now,
apparently now they're not going to be on the show.
Listen, let me tell you. Look at
I thought you weren't trying to get them on anymore.
No, look at Joseph's.
Oh, I apologize. I love the Peeps.
Look at Joseph's face.
No, I know.
This, just talking about Peeps, I'm sorry. No matter what you think about them, and I made the joke about them last forever, but when you hear the words Peeps, doesn't it bring you back to your childhood?
No,
it makes you think of Easter.
Back to Easter.
Isn't Peeps
childhood memories.
That's for you.
No.
Yes, that's what you serve that time for. But Peeps.
Wow, you took a peep on that one?
So, but Peeps, no, we can't have them on, unfortunately, because apparently Peeps is synonymous with Easter so much that you have to like contact them in the summer in order to have them on, especially the Saturday, you know, before Easter,
Peeps.
The day before
they
Easter.
They are going 24/7.
I thought it was Veeps, not Peeps. Veeps.
That's a show.
Those Peeps.
Can you get the Cadbury Bunny on?
I was working on
that,
too.
Guy. Yeah, he's pretty good.
And speaking of bunnies, of course, we are going to have on someone to tell us all about raising and breeding rabbits.
Really?
Wow.
Because let's face it, rabbits have so much to do with the death of Christ and him rising again.
Do you want to have a religious Easter show, or do you want to have an upbeat and happy Easter
show?
I think we could have
Spring
a ministry show.
I still don't know what Easter actually is. Now, I celebrate it in terms of
Christ
visiting the bunny
the
and
it's a
presents and stuff, but I had no idea.
I think it's a resurrection.
It is. It's the resurrection of Christ that, you know, so when you say a happy upbeat, if you're religious, Easter is happy and upbeat.
But if you're like us.
But it has evolved. It has evolved because that's a new life as he becomes resurrected. And so we're celebrating it in springtime, the new life. And because rabbits do it like rabbits, they are one of the biggest.
Really?
Yes.
And if we had on Santa Claus on our Christmas special.
We need
to keep it all
Easter
you know,
bunny.
Fluffy. We're keeping it light and fluffy.
Can't we get a bunny on?
Breakthrough Entertainment's light and fluffy Easter special.
Can we get?
I'll play the part of the bunny.
Oh,
can we get the star?
Nobody
from,
will notice the difference.
Okay, okay.
From Jesus Christ Superstar, the no. musical.
No, we just played Liquid Jesus. That was the last.
Yeah,
time.
Liquid Jesus was last time, and now we're going to give our homage to the Jewish faith, and we're going to Passover.
Passover where? Whose blood we're going to use?
And I picked
up lamb's blood.
Out, apparently there are a bunch of Easter carols, so I've got a bunch
carols?
Of Easter
I know
music.
Carol.
So I'm very excited about our Easter special
show.
Next week, and we will cover the Easter religious aspect as well. Because
will there be movies
the movie,
we're going to review?
The movie that we are going to be talking about is.
Easter
primarily
movies.
Is well, it's a religious movie. It's called Heaven Is For Real. It's based on a book.
Oh,
you might be familiar with it. A very popular religious book.
Excellent.
I think I've heard of it. Yeah.
It's
based on a true story. So we'll be talking about that as well as several other movies, including Joe. So I know that you guys saw that, and you will be eager
will we
to
be
talk
talking
about, that.
About the
Dom
sexual...
Hemingway as well. We will be talking about
oh,
that
too, yes. And the sexual connotations of Easter.
No, we will not.
Are there some?
Yeah, there are. The 10 most sexual connotations, whatever it's called. Connotations.
It's
not really.
Like
you haven't heard that?
Like rabbits? Oh.
Well, that's one of them, and you let the rabbit out of the hat.
Wow. Okay. Well,
that's number 10.
But also coming up, speaking of sexual connotations, we might be having a gigolo show, or if
another
we want to call
one.
It our male hustler show.
Male hustler.
Should I bring my thong?
Well, the other one.
Yeah, of course. Oh.
The other one was the romance.
Just the thong?
Show.
Is that it?
Just don't wear the thong.
Yes, of course, just the thong.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, what?
Oh, I was ready to hear
never
somebody
actually
go thong,
it.
The thong, thong, thong.
No, that's
I'm
too 1999.
Too old, that's sure. Yes, and gladly it's back in the past. No, I was going to say, when he said another one, no, the last one was the romance show.
Yes, that was our Valentine's Day special.
Gigolos,
oh, it was.
Gigolos know how to romance, as we learned from Vin Armani.
Oh, they do. We're pretty good.
Yeah,
but the
so
thing
now
is...
gigolos.
Added that in. But no, that should be interesting.
Yeah,
it'll be
maybe because, get Vin on again. He was nice.
Yeah, I'm trying to get him confirmed. Yeah. And, you know, of course, there
confirm,
are a bunch of movies.
That's a religious concept.
All right.
Oh, my God.
That is. Confirmation.
Okay, there, no more coffee before
right.
the show.
There are a lot of movies that have to do with male hustlers, including the movie that we'll be talking about that day, Fading Gigolo.
But that's
starring
not,
Woody Harrelson.
Is that
Woody
next week?
Allen.
That's
Woody
Easter?
Allen plays a gigolo?
Weeks. Yeah. Well, no, a pimp.
Yikes.
No.
You mean we're going to talk about that on the Easter show?
No, in 2 weeks.
Hey, you know, it's interesting. And Vin and his show when he had that object on his head for the woman. Woody Allen wouldn't need one.
Yes.
He said that on a different
today's
station.
Today's Woody Allen Knowles joke. Okay.
Right.
Can't say it here.
But,
okay.
Of course, again, there's a lot of great things coming up on Breakthrough Entertainment. And so you want to stay tuned. Go to BreakRadioShow.com. And, of course, you know, today we gave you a little bit of a behind-the-scenes look at what it goes into producing a radio show. And,
yeah.
You know,
I bet everybody is so confused.
Probably, yes. I think. And if you have any questions, if you have any questions, you can always go to BreakRadioShow.com. Click on the big F in the upper right-hand corner and send us a message on Facebook. Or you can email us at... entertainmentbreakthrough@gmail.com. Again, that is entertainmentbreakthrough@gmail.com. Send us any questions that you have, and we'll be happy to answer them, especially right now in honor of our radio show. And you want to go check out Alan Partridge in theaters and video on demand.
It sounds great. Steve Coogan, of course, unbelievable. And again, tomorrow, if you're looking for brunch, get out to North Mountain Brewing Company, northmountainbrewing.com, 522 East Dunlap Avenue. Get out there. Good stuff.
Yes. Yeah, so a lot of great things going on. And, of course, check out the Scottsdale Culinary Festival as well. Say hello to Fabio Viviani. Check out his
I'm
sausage.
I'm so hungry now.
And
well, I don't know about that.
He said we exchanged sausages.
Tell him that we sent
you. Oh, you guys are going to have a sausage war?
No, tell him that.
Tell Fabio that Breakthrough Entertainment sent you and that you'd like to see his sausage.
Yes, by the way, in order to save time next week, when Kathleen and I hide the eggs, we're just going to use raw white eggs.
Darn.
Okay.
You could get that poisoning
that's okay
from
with you
it.
Guys.
That's fine.
We want over
we'll color
easy.
Them here during the show.
When we tackle.
I prefer an omelet with some mushrooms, tomatoes.
Yeah.
When we tackle each other, it might get messy.
Eat something.
Oh, yeah. What is this song?
A dirty.
What is that?
Do not hasten to bid me
oh, that's that religious
from
song.
From Prairie Home Companion.
Yeah.
Again, this is the reprise of Red River Valley.
Oh, that's a... I see.
And Sweet By and By, sung by the cast.
And stay tuned, coming up, Real Hockey Talk, followed by Breakthrough Sports, right here at 1488 KPHX.
Yeah, we want the Red River.
Red River Valley. Yeah, now, yeah.